Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, October 16th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Lower Marion Township police believe a purse theft at a grocery store in Wynwood could be tied to six other incidents in Haverford Township. The theft in Wynwood happened shortly before 4 o'clock on October 9th. Police report that the surveillance video shows the suspect approaching the victim's shopping cart in the parking lot, removing the victim's purse, and then walking through the lot towards Clover Hill Road and out of the camera's view. It turns out the Haverford Township Police have had six similar purse thefts, all at supermarkets, since September 26th. The suspect in each incident is wearing a full black burqa with their face covered. Police said the suspect's vehicle is a white Cadillac SUV with a PA registration. The SUV was used during one of the thefts in Havertown. The registration is listed as stolen, and people in the SUV were seen switching out registration plates at a nearby store after the theft. Anyone with information is asked to contact police.
This looks like the work of the purse bandit.
Well, you know what? I've a couple of people that I know have had this happen to them.
Getting clipped the same way?
Yeah, getting the purse. They didn't have their whole purse, but the wallet. You go to the store, you put it in the shopping cart. The purse maybe is open, whatever. And her, I guess her purse was opened, and the wallet was in plain view,
yeah.
And they just snagged the wallet from her. A mother is accused of shooting and killing her husband and their two young children inside a Philadelphia home. Authorities have identified the suspect as 28-year-old Demira Jones Alcindor. She is expected to be charged with the triple murder. A neighbor called police after hearing gunshots around 10 o'clock in the evening on Monday in the 6300 block of Harriman Street in Tacony. According to authorities, a 38-year-old man was pronounced dead at the scene. A 10-month-old infant and a 4-year-old girl were taken to the area hospitals. They later died of their injuries. Police are also found the 28-year-old woman at the scene with a self-inflicted wound to her head. Police believe that Alcindor shot all three of the victims, then turned the gun on herself. Police said she confessed to the shootings while in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. Homicide Captain Jason Smith said the mother legally purchased the weapon just before the shooting. A family member said Alcindor was distraught over relationship issues with her husband. The argument may have been over child support payments. Philadelphia Police Department Acting Commissioner Christine Coulter said some of the officers cried at the scene as they were overwhelmed at the thought of the baby and toddler being shot. Those officers are being offered counseling services.
Horrible.
Yeah, awful. The Cherry Hill Public School Board has voted to change its policy on school lunch debt as it works to find a solution to encourage delinquent parents to pay up. I don't know if you guys remember, but we talked about this when they first enacted this rule. The revised policy allows students who have outstanding lunch debt to choose a hot lunch from the meal of the day menu, but no a la carte items. The latest rule prohibits students with $75 of overdue meal fees from participating in activities like the prom, extracurricular activities, or buying a yearbook. Even with more lenient changes, parents are disappointed. They're saying that their children are being punished for the parents' lack of payment. Under the previous policy, Cherry Hill Public School District students owing more than $10 would only be allowed a tuna sandwich. Once a $20 debt was brought in, the students would not, I'm sorry, once they got up to a $20 debt, the students would not receive any food from the school at all, although they're saying that this was not really enforced.
If they're in the rears, Kathy, do they still have access to the wine menu or no?
I don't think so. No wine menu.
By the way, what if you don't like tuna?
You know, I mean,
yeah.
Then you gotta pay your bill.
The same thing.
Very appetizing.
Maybe it's a method of torture.
Generic, like chicken or...
Well, that's what they changed. So now you can choose from the meal of the day and it's a hot lunch. It's not a sandwich.
Okay. It's swordfish. What if I don't like swordfish.
The superintendent says that this new rule actually breaks from state policy, which requires that meals be withheld. There is an outstanding lunch debt of $15,000 in the school district with an operating budget of more than $200 million. In order to collect, the school principal and guidance counselor will reach out to parents by letter requesting payment. If the debt isn't paid within 10 days, the administration will make a phone call. If the debt reaches $75, they'll hold an in-person meeting. The administration is also suggesting that families sign up for free or reduced lunch.
The last set, Preston, is Luca Brasi.
Yeah. Yes.
Send him in.
All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Ball sacks are yummy.
What the f*** is that? The Flyers lost to the Flames last night in Calgary.
What the f***?
fuck is this?
Michael Frolik opened the scoring just a minute 35 into the game with an unassisted goal. Matt and
Niskanen.
There you go. Scored his
what
first goal
is this?
As a Flyer 5 minutes into the third, but that was the only goal they were able to score. Before the game, the team announced that they have signed forward Chris Stewart to a one-year, one-way contract with an average value of $750,000. Stewart was available for the Flyers game against Calgary and will wear number 44. The team wraps up the road trip through Western Canada tonight with the game in Edmonton against the Oilers, and the puck drops at 9:30. In the American League Championship Series, Garrett Cole held the New York Yankees scoreless. Jose Altuve hit a home run, and the Houston Astros won 4-1 yesterday in Yankee Stadium to take a 2-1 series lead. Altuve and Josh Reddick homered early off Yankee starter Luis Severino, while Cole pitched seven strong innings to win the 19th straight decision. Game 4 in the best-of-7 playoff is scheduled for tonight, but that could change. The weather forecast calls for a substantial storm with heavy rain and wind all night in New York. And in the National League, the Nationals scored 7 runs in the first inning and held on to beat the St. Louis Cardinals 7-4 in advance to the World Series with a 4-game sweep. With the win, a baseball team from Washington, D.C. is headed to the World Series for the first time since 1933. Mm-hmm. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome, friends. It's a Wednesday morning. Kind of feels like a Monday to us, but and we shall treat it like a Monday because we are going to reveal that we have a new Word of the Week prize this week. Only 3 letters. It's another trip to Los Angeles.
What? How the hell do we get these trips?
How do we do this?
It's amazing.
Yeah, and this is it's a premiere of a movie based on a book that I'm about halfway through right now. It is the premiere of Dr. Sleep.
How are you liking the book?
I'm really liking it a
really?
Lot.
Yes, interesting, because, you know, you go back to The Shining territory again.
Yep.
You know, does it have the chops? So
I just finished The Shining, and then I figured I should go right into this book because it's a continuation of the character Danny Torrance from The Shining.
As an adult?
Yeah, and it's nothing like The Shining. It's a completely different feel to the whole thing, but I'm really enjoying the book so far.
Very cool.
I'm a King fan, so... you know, I figured I was going to like it. But anyway, it's going to be October 29th at the Regency Theater in Los Angeles. I also found out this as I looked up the cast, and the main nemesis is a character named Rose the Hat, being played by, do you remember the actress Sarah Ferguson, who I totally fell in love with when she was here in
She's
our
in the studio.
Studio,
yeah.
She's playing that character.
Ah.
I'm loving this, yes. So, anyhow, it's a follow-up to The Shining from Stephen King. It was written and directed by Mike Flanagan and will be in theaters nationwide on Friday, November 8th. We have a chance for you to go and see the film in Los Angeles. And you only need 3 letters that make up a word. So we will get to that starting today. We have a lot of stuff going on today's program. Wednesday, so Fox Good Day, we're going on that. We usually have a secret text word. Is that this up here, Case? Tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yes, sir.
All right, text. Are we set up with that?
I didn't give her a word yet.
Give us 30 seconds. I'll come back and reiterate to do that in a moment. But we also have joining us on the program today, Danica Patrick.
Yes.
The former driver, and she has got a new podcast coming out called Pretty Intense. We'll find out what that's about. We have the people that bring you the Philadelphia Film Institute's, what is the event coming? The Film Festival, yes. So Andrew Greenblatt will be here, the executive director, and Michael Lerman, who's the artistic director. We'll find out about details of that event.
Always cool stuff.
We also have Pierre Robert on the program today.
What? Really? How did we get him?
Well, it's in a different capacity. It's Pierre Robert and Rob Hyman
are
going to be here. Rob of the Hooters. And they are part of this Walk of Fame induction ceremony that's coming up. We'll give you more details on that as we get a little later in the program. So we also have Stanley's Tavern stopping by today because the Thursday Night Huddle, the Bud Light Premium, Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle is tomorrow night. So they're bringing in some food and they'll have some giveaways for you, which I will have the opportunity for you to win very, very soon. So these things and more are taking place.
I love it.
All right. We're good to go with the secret text word now. So Sebastian Maniscalco is going to be performing at the Borgata. And this will be on June 21st. It's a little ways off, but why not win the tickets now? It's a 5 p.m. show. Text the word secret to 39333. We will send a word back to you, and later on we'll ask you to call in with that word. If you're the designated caller that does that, then you win the tickets. That's how it works. And we'll grab a random text or two, so a couple of different ways to win. Pretty good stuff. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. I got some entertainment stories I want to run by you, as well as a stupid question to do some giveaways. If I can find out where the commercial button is here. Somebody cleaned up around here and everything's moved around. And we can't find anything. But anyhow, we'll figure it out in a little bit. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear? You can see it too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, let's start by getting you something for free. I have a stupid question this morning, and the question that I have concerns angles. And here's your question. The angles of a triangle add up to how many degrees? 215-263 WMMR. The angles of a triangle add up to how many degrees? 215-263 WMMR. Call right now. Let's see if you know the answer. Today's birthdays, Wednesday, October 16th, include, we'll start with the oldest on the list, Angela Lansbury.
Still alive?
Murder, She Wrote, yeah?
Yeah. She doesn't know it, but she is.
She's
super talented.
Yeah, yeah.
Always watch that with my mom.
Murder, She Wrote?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of those things that you can put it on. It's like Columbo. Any type of whodunit, it's innocuous, you know, it'll kill time. But she goes all the way back. She used to be a real screen siren. She was a babe.
An attractive woman. I remember her from Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
I love that movie.
When I was a little kid, yeah. 94
actually,
years
it's also the name of a porn movie, Preston.
Various things that will be used in this film.
Yeah.
And now we're going to try a broomstick.
Right.
God.
Not the broomstick. Ah, the broomstick. That's guy.
Tim Robbins is 61 years old today. He came by for a visit several years ago. Was he playing in a band at the time? Is that why he was here?
He was. Yeah.
Sellersville, I think.
Yeah.
I just looked it up. It was July of 2011.
And Adrian Tamed was his lead guitarist. That was a great interview and a lot of fun.
He plays guitar. If you ever saw the movie Bob Roberts, he plays
a
singing politician in that. Yeah, but he plays and sings and does that whole thing. He's a very nice guy. 61 today. Suzanne Summers.
Oh, wow.
Chrissy from Three's Company.
I loved her, too.
Yeah, I was a fan. And I know you were a huge Three's Company fan all the way around.
I was actually just talking about the John Ritter story and when he passed away. John Ripper.
Yeah.
And, this show I used to watch with my dad.
Yep. There you go. See, a lot of the influences what you watch with your parents.
You know what my favorite episode was? When somebody was in the other room and they overheard somebody say
something. Oh, that one's great.
They got them all confused and everybody didn't understand.
Hey, Preston, that episode was such a success, they did it for every other episode. I mean, if every episode could have been cut off at the knees if someone said, no, I said turkey.
Right, exactly.
Oh,
you misunderstood.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And it would have cleared it all up. But, you know, it was a funny show. And they actually ran disclaimers before the show would start.
It was considered.
That is how archaic it was back then. The idea that a man was living with two women
and pretending he was gay.
He had to pretend he was gay in order to live there. Otherwise, the landlord, Mr. Furley.
Roper at the
Mr. Roper, really, yeah, I'm yeah. sorry. Yeah, Mr. Furley was second. But Mr. Roper was not going to allow it. And that's how far we've come, folks. So she's 73 today. Kelly Martin, who was Becca on Life Goes On. She also had a turn on ER as well.
She's also in the Jamie Kennedy movie, Beverly Malibu, the white rapper, the kid who's...
Malibu's Most Wanted?
Malibu's Most Wanted.
The classic.
She's in that. She was nominated for that.
Oh, yeah?
She is 44 today. The Great Flea, Michael Peter Balzari. Of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I didn't know that was his full name.
Yeah, he is 57 years old today.
Super talented.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it. My son, Carter, has recently discovered what a talent Flea is.
He's my God.
Dude, he goes crazy on stage.
Also, to be that kinetic as he's playing
and to be
with
that
precision.
Talented of a musician and be able to, like you said, kinetic, be that crazy on stage. He's awesome. He's a 57, and you'll see him pop up in a movie every now and then. In there's a movie called Boy Erased. It's about gay conversion therapy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's one of the people that's counseling,
kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
I was like, whoa. I'm pretty certain of that. Nick, can you check that on me, for me, please? Because I thought I saw him. He's 57 today. Bob Weir, the great Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead.
So I'm not a massive Grateful Dead fan. I appreciate them, but I appreciate Bob Weir's daughter.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Monet. Her Instagram. Yes. She is an attractive young lady. You know what I do like about her is, as far as her Instagram posts, she is very attractive. She doesn't overdo.
No.
She doesn't try too hard with the sexiness. Let us see.
That's
some
what we want
do.
From our Instagram model.
Yeah.
Don't oversell it.
Yeah, don't
because
overdo
it. She is sexy, so she doesn't have to do
that. Me, you know, if you notice,
like photos.
All my shots are just candid. I'm just sitting there having tea or something, and I let the natural sexiness come through.
Yeah. Well, Casey, not the spread leg, but I mean the pouting lips and the whole. Yeah. She doesn't oversell it. I like what she does on Instagram. Preston Elliott approved. Monet
we need one of your stickers for you with your thumb up.
That's right. Oh, and it's Bob Weir's birthday, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, him, too.
You remember him. He wrote some songs. He's 72. Did you find out about Flea?
You were right, yeah. Boy Erased with Lucas Hedges, yeah.
I thought that was him. All right. C.F. Fred Turner, bassist, Stinger, Bachman Turner, Overdrive.
Whoa.
Yeah, he is 76 years old today.
They were a staple on rock radio for a while.
This, and you ain't seen nothing yet. And and plus they had ties. Bachman Turner Overdrive did with Mountain and
ISIS.
No, not ISIS. I want to say the Guess Who. I forgot. There's like this incestual run of these bands.
I know what you're talking
about. BTO was part of. So, but nothing to do, as far as I know, with ISIS. But you know
what
was it in Bachman Turner Overdrive?
Who?
Hasselhoff.
Oh, of course.
So he may have been directly tied to ISIS.
Frick.
I don't know. He's 76 today. Barry Corbin, the actor, he played the general in War Games. He was Maurice in Northern Exposure.
I like him.
Very
good character actor. Always plays sort of a windbag.
Yep, exactly. He's got a very recognizable voice and delivery. He's 79 years old today. Wendy Wilson of Wilson Phillips, yes. Daughter of Brian, sister of Carney, niece of Carl and Dennis.
Yes, yes. What Game of Thrones.
She begot, She begot Wilson.
Rocky.
Yeah. So, but she's 50 years old today. I always thought she was pretty cute.
I did as well.
Yeah. So happy birthday to her.
You want to talk about a guilty pleasure? Wilson Phillips.
Let your Wilson Phillips flag fly.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah.
Boy, it's a terrible picture of her. Get it off here. I just said she's cute. That's not
cute. Oh, my God.
All right. And then the last birthday is local fella, Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper turns 27 years old.
Happy birthday for him with his former team going to the World Series.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know.
It's got to suck.
Yeah.
It's got to suck.
And I mean, and to just have a crappy season altogether.
Yeah, yeah. Just overall.
That's the nail in the
coffin. Now, the money's good, obviously, and
it's
that can
okay.
help. That'd serve as a buffer, but.
They had a baby, right?
They did, yeah. Okay. And listen, I think he's going to make Philadelphia his home for a long time, and I think next season will be better, and that's the beauty of baseball. There's always next season.
And we had, you know, maybe this season was a disappointment, but this was fun.
Bases loaded and one out.
Oh my God.
Deep to right field. Way!
Oh, that's what got them to the World Series.
Yeah. Good times, man. Good times.
Now, that was pretty exciting. Yeah. All right. Let's see if we can get an answer to our stupid question. Wow. I don't know who's on the phone. I don't know what they have to say. So I think our phone screener's messed up here. So
this is Guess the Caller Wednesdays, Preston. It's a new thing.
Okay. Hang on now. My phone lines aren't even lit up.
Yay!
Casey has to do what's called retake the board.
You need a gun?
No, it's a little step process where he has to hit a few buttons and can I try it?
Go for it.
Let me see here.
Go for it.
No, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. So now he's got to do this.
Is this because of cleaning?
Of course it is.
Oh, it is.
You touched something.
I didn't do the board.
Try it now, bro. All right. It shows that somebody has them on the line right now.
Did Bill Weston do the board?
No, hey, Casey, Robin did the board.
Can you talk to them through that?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, Casey's going to interpret. Ask a person who's on the phone.
Hey, WMMR, who's this? John, how you doing,
bro? What's your answer, man? What's the question?
Ask John. So the angles in a triangle add up to how many degrees?
Yeah, how many degrees, bro?
Bro.
He says 180. Is that right?
John's right. Hey!
Wait, hold the earpiece up to the microphone.
Yeah, let's see if we can hear this.
All right.
Hey, wait. I got to wait for the bells and whistles.
No, you'd have to put the other one so we could hear him.
Hear him. Yeah, this one. Yeah, there you go. Hey, John, can you hear me? No, Casey, there. Jesus. Let me try this again. John, can you hear me? John, say something. Can you hear me? No, we can't hear him. Casey's actually holding the handset up to the microphone.
He was talking. John, can you hear him?
I know, but we can't. The mic. Yeah, just barely.
By the way, I think you said his name is Ken.
Now, is this John or Ken? He did say Ken.
That's why he wasn't answering.
All right. Listen, Ken. Sammy's got to go.
We got to go. You won.
Oh, dear God.
Give him his goddamn prize.
So the answer is 180 degrees.
All right.
Hey. I think it's fixed now. Hold on. Wait. No, it's not. I just hit the button and nothing happened.
It's not.
That sucks. All right, anyhow, we are going to set him up with the prize. We have a pair of tickets.
All right, so I just wanted to make sure that the board works. It works.
Okay. Right, tickets for Disney in concert, Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas with the Philly Pops, presented by WMMR, Thursday, October 24th. That will be at the Met. And you can come in costume for Halloween and enjoy this classic movie with a live score. Tickets for both shows, October 24th and 25th, are on sale now. Via phillypops.org. All right, we're going to start with some kind of serious subjects. Cuba Gooding Jr. appeared at Manhattan Supreme Court on Tuesday in handcuffed, flanked by his lawyers, Pete Tumbekis and Mark Heller. The Oscar winner pleaded not guilty to new charges in his sex abuse case. Remember, we covered that before we left for the weekend.
I was watching Mark Heller's press conference. Your lawyer needs to look a little more put together when he gets in front of the camera. I'm watching this guy like...
Really?
Mr. Gooding will have his day in court, and everyone who's accused of this will be brought to justice.
I
saw it on the national news last night, Steve. He looked like a cartoon character.
Right. Really? Mr. Gooding, of course, you remember him from his wonderful films like Radio, where he inspired us all to overcome...
He was facing charges of forcible touching and sexual abuse in the third degree. One woman came forward over the summer accusing Cuba of grabbing her breast in a Manhattan bar. A second woman came forward recently accusing him of pinching her buttocks without her consent and making sexually suggestive remarks to her at a New York restaurant last October. It says last October 6, 2019. I think they mean 2018. Gooding Jr. is now facing a 4-count indictment. On Tuesday, his team asked the court to nix the two new charges and proceed with the first set to trial. Their request was denied.
I'm having a little bit of trouble understanding. Are they actually adding on charges as we go along?
Well, they want to, and apparently that's what they're
doing.
Can
you do that? Don't you usually traditionally focus on one case at a time?
That would be separate.
Or
right?
Like everybody.
Yeah. So anyhow, the prosecutor filed a motion for a hearing in which it's called a Molyneux hearing.
Yes.
In which a defendant's conduct is used to establish a pattern even when charges are not filed.
So exculpatory.
Yeah. And according to the district attorney's office, 12 additional women have come forward with stories about Gooding Jr. that they say establish a pattern.
Do they say he's gropey or...
It doesn't say.
A little bit more provocative. Is he any sexual molestation outside of the groping?
That I don't know.
All right.
Heller said he's outraged that prosecutors are moving ahead with incredulous cases.
This is an incredulous case, and we will defend Mr. Gooding to the best of our ability.
The next hearing is...
Can someone keep me from falling over,
please? Has been set for December 13th, by the way.
Honestly, it helps to have a lawyer that presents nicely.
Yep. So Felicity Huffman reported to prison on Tuesday.
Ms. Huffman is totally committed to filling out her 14 days and paying her debt to society.
She's serving a 14-day sentence for a role in the college admission scandal. Felicity Huffman, this is according to...
She already planned a prison break, Preston.
A representative for the actress said in a statement, Felicity Huffman reported today for sentencing at the Federal Correctional Institute in Dublin, California. Ms. Huffman is prepared to serve the term of imprisonment Judge Talwani had ordered as part of the punishment she imposed for Ms. Huffman's actions.
Do you think she gets out a little bit early?
Yeah, probably.
Her time served?
She'll begin serving the remainder of the sentence Judge Lawani had imposed. 1 year of supervised release with conditions including 250 hours of community service. When she is released, the statement added, referring to Boston federal judge Talawandi's order last month. A source tells People she's ready to face the music. They said she's embarrassed and just ready to get this behind her. She wants to serve her time and move forward.
It's 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know.
All right. I mean, come on.
That's still a lot for somebody who's not used to doing jail time.
But I hope she doesn't get out early for a 2-week sentence.
And then I met Felicity Huffman. And my life changed. We made an agreement that we'd meet at a tree in Thousand Oaks, California.
They were going to tar the license plate factory, and that's when she made a bold move to bribe the guards.
That's right.
And do their taxes for them.
A day and a half in.
Mm-hmm.
She helped the warden with his SAT scores.
So anyhow, they are apparently the family's trying to just, you know.
I think so. Listen, of all of them, at least the way she's been presenting herself, she's been totally, she comes across as embarrassed and contrite. So she'll do her time and then move on. My guess is she'll be back, you know, acting and doing what she does best.
I agree. In a recent interview with E.T., Jennifer Aniston admitted that she
was a big fan of Friends.
Well, admitted she was considering joining Instagram because it allowed celebs to control their own narrative. And on Tuesday, she made her musings a reality by joining the media platform.
Yeah!
Actually crashing her page temporarily due to all of the excitement.
I watched it. I'm not watched it. It was a static picture. Why would I watch a static? I looked at the picture, and was it the one of her and all her castmates and Friends?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It was soon back up and running, but users reported other issues, and many being shown a page that read, "Sorry, this page isn't available," and many hopped over to Twitter to share their frustration. But her first post was a selfie with all five of her Friends co-stars.
Everybody looks pretty good.
Yeah,
they do. I'm wondering when this picture and where they were, you know, when
just fairly recently, actually, from what I understand. She's got her show that's debuting on Apple TV.
Yeah.
So it's a good time to tie all this in together.
It's there. So, you know, like The Office and some of these other shows have had like these resurgences.
Friends has as well, right?
So, but there is a major backlash. I don't want to say major, but I keep seeing this campaign about people that hate it, that think it's terrible, do not understand how it became so popular. And one of the funnier posts.
What, the original Friends show?
Yes, the entire series. People are like, I don't know how this it has become so popular and why people think it's so funny. And one of the posts I saw is, guy said, if I win the lottery, I'm going to buy the rights to Friends, go back, take out all of the laugh tracks, just so people can see how stupid this show actually
is.
That's
weird because there's other shows that are much worse, like
Three's Company.
Yeah, right?
Which is horrible, but you still enjoyed it. I would say this is that it was of a time.
Yeah.
It was speaking to a specific generation. It was also doing it with an accomplished cast of comedic actors.
Sure.
The writing was pretty sharp. And it was must-see television. We were compelled by law to watch it.
Must-see TV. The one thing on that show that I never got in, it bothered me, was Phoebe and the guitar and Smelly Cat. Like,
people loved it, though.
Yeah, I know.
Did you love everything Alf did? No.
But see, I still watch Friends and like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I could understand going back and watching Three's Company and not laughing anymore. But Friends, I still laugh at the jokes.
Oh, there are some shows that even when you were watching them the first go around, you knew they were pretty bad, but you just enjoyed them, you know? But Friends, I think, is a sharper show.
I agree. That was one of the funniest things I remember seeing on TV one time was when Chandler was trying to hide the fact that he was dating Monica, and Phoebe was trying to call him out on it and pretending that she was coming on to him. And this awkward, I laughed my ass off at that particular scene.
It's good stuff.
I thought there were some great moments on that show, but I didn't watch it religiously. I didn't watch every episode. Some people were, you know, it was like you said, must-see TV. It was appointment television.
You
had to watch it. You couldn't miss an episode. But, you know, listen, Jennifer Aniston's doing great, and this, with this one post of this picture, got her 7.1 million followers.
That, and, you know, so it's good promotion for her show, her new show.
Yep. So she had written, "And now we're Instagram friends, too. Hi, Instagram," she captioned the post, in which she smiles alongside Lisa Kudrow, Courtney Cox, Matthew Perry, David Schwimmer, and Matt LeBlanc. Also friends with Aniston is her ex-husband, Justin Theroux. And he was one of the first to comment on her inaugural post. And he wrote, and I quote, "Woot woot, hashtag first."
Wow. They do love each other still.
Mm-hmm. Woot woot woot.
That's like they say in Shelbyville.
Woot 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 woot. And become one of the hundreds of thousands who quickly followed her. And now it's 7.1 million, I believe.
I like David Spade's comment. He just writes, "Crap, you can't even see me." as if he were edited out of the photo.
Nice. Theroux was one of the few profiles that she followed in return. So,
well, that's nice. Yeah, I mean, he did take the time to write woot woot.
She doesn't follow us yet.
She'll probably start off that way, but yeah, who knows?
If only she'd follow us.
Yeah. It's not working, Case.
Great.
We were going to play the woot woot. Oh, jeez. Nothing is working.
How did they clean the board? With a hammer?
No, we used Q-tips.
Q-tips attached
we
to hammers?
We specifically didn't like hit any buttons or unplug anything.
Or you did.
Or
push buttons.
You totally did.
And had lesbian love on the board.
Casey's trying to fix this so that we can hear that wonderful sound effect, but yeah, it's going to take a little while, I'll move on.
I bet your other shows can play woot woot.
Okay, now the board just disappeared on me.
Yeah, everything shut down.
I wonder if we're even on the air.
The air right now?
Oh, no.
Marissa, can you go into the other room and just kind of give us a thumbs up? Let us know if you can hear us on the
I think things would sound different
on the radio
than our headphones
waves.
If we were on
this is the
air.
Longest emergency broadcast signal of all time.
Right. It's literally the board, which is normally lit up with all kinds of crazy blinking lights, is now dead. All right, now it came back on. All right, yep, we're good to go.
Marissa says yes.
We're still on the air. Congratulations, guys. All right, so...
Baby steps.
Gwyneth did Gwyneth again as she addressed a crowd of fellow A-listers gathered to celebrate at Elle's Women in Hollywood event on Monday in Beverly Hills.
Quick question. Do you get the sense she's living her best life?
Oh, yeah. Oh, without question. As an event honoree, Gwyneth Paltrow gave a speech, while many other honorees gave inspiring, if slightly staid, speeches about what it means to be a woman in Hollywood, she took a different route.
I'm a man in Hollywood.
No. The Goop boss confessed that she hadn't prepared a formal speech because she said, quote, "I'm drunk and I'm just the lame old white lady here."
She totally gooped it.
To be fair, she also did say some other things. She said, "I may succeed at it and I may fail, but I had this incredible passion to try to move culture forward in a different way and create a space online where we could help women eliminate shame."
Shut the f*** up!
Someone is in the audience.
The actress
Mark Summers was there.
Shut the f*** up!
I have to remind you, that's Mark Summers, that Dunkle Dare. But hit one more time, if you don't mind, please.
Shut the f*** up!
He's in the audience.
The actress encouraged women to stop waiting for permission from others to unlock their power.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally, someone had the courage to say it.
She said, "Women are so unbelievably powerful, and I think...
I saw one pick up a car.
We're just living in a... We're living in a time now...
Power!
When we're really starting to unlock that power, and we are giving ourselves the permission to unlock our power."
Unlock our power.
She said, "We're not waiting for that permission anymore."
Edna, can you come with me into the bathroom? I'm having difficulty unlocking my power.
By the way, she donned a one-strap Bottega Veneta LBD.
What is that, a sandwich?
I don't know. Any idea what an LBD... Oh, little black dress.
Oh,
yeah! Yeah!
Wow. I was thinking loud but deadly.
How about me?
Preston scores in the fashion department.
Nick just pulled up a very tasty picture of her on Instagram.
That's her account. That's her post.
Yeah, tasty. She's not wearing a top at all, and she's wearing pants with suspenders, and the suspenders are covering her nipples.
Would you say she looks thirsty?
She looks beautiful, actually. Huh. That's a really good picture.
I saw Gwyneth Paltrow was an attractive one.
I would agree with you.
Listen.
So anyhow.
Pepper Potts, she gets instant eternal cred for that.
Let me tell you about what she wore.
Okay.
So she had the one-strap Bottega Veneta
LBD, and a strappy pair of Jimmy Choos.
Those strappy Jimmy Choos you're wearing there, a little woman.
But there were a lot of top name people there. In attendance were Zendaya, Scarlett Johansson, Natalie Portman, Mindy Kaling, Lena Waithe, Nicole Kidman, Charlize Theron, Margot Robbie, Reese Witherspoon, Jamila Jamil, and India Moore. So it was,
no Caitlyn Jenner?
No.
Ladies, it's great to be here.
Not at that event. I'm sorry. Did you wear some strappy
shoes? I did. I wore some strappy Jimmy Choos, but I had to nail them to my feet because I have a size 18. Strappy, don't you think?
Nail them.
Like a horseshoe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to.
Yeah.
I go to Jimmy Choos blacksmith. It's great to be here with my little black dress, which is not so little because I'm 6'9 and 300 pounds of rippling muscle.
I guess she was there. I didn't know about
that. I was there. Oh, yeah.
Let's see. What else do I have for you? Okay, good news. Miranda Kerr has welcomed her second child with Evan Spiegel and her third overall.
She said, is wonderful news if I knew who they were.
We are overjoyed. Well, she has a child with her ex, Orlando Bloom.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yes, oh, the model. Yes, of course. Now I do remember.
She said, we are overjoyed at the arrival of Miles and so appreciate everyone's kind words and wishes during this special time. They shared with People magazine, we couldn't be more excited to welcome our beautiful son into our family. Kerr and Spiegel already share Hart, who is 1 year old.
I'm so glad somebody finally married Schmeagle.
Kerr and Bloom have Flynn, who is 8 years old.
They're apparently, okay, so they're, it's an amiable split, right?
I guess so. Don't really know.
Yeah.
But they got a new baby in that household. All right, so very little information on this, but Mama June has pleaded not guilty to felony cocaine possession.
What if they stick in the same cell with Felicity Huffman?
According to court documents obtained by The Blast, Mama June and her boyfriend, Eugene Gino Doak, did not reportedly appear in the Alabama court, and they're facing 1 year in jail.
So you remember, Preston, so to make some quick money, they sold off everything in the house. They basically went online. They had this house, and they were selling everything, like lighting fixtures and everything.
Yeah.
They sold the house for, I think, $120,000 without a quick sale, without ever getting it appraised, finding out only later that it's worth $250,000.
Right.
I mean, just the absolute dumbest every life move. That's why I think even Honey Boo Boo, whatever her real name is now under the legal care of her own sister.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So real quick, Steve, your dad's name is Gene.
Yes.
Is it
G-E-N-E.
Is it Eugene or is it just straight up Gene?
It's just Gene, yeah.
Okay, all right. So.
And my older brother is Gene, well, Gene Jr.
Okay.
But I was supposed to be Gene Jacket, but they...
I did grow up with a guy whose name was Eugene, but we called him Gene.
We called him Gene, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, if my name is Eugene, I would go by Gene.
Probably.
Eugene is a very nerdy-sounding name.
It can be.
The name of Rat Boy.
Mm. It is.
Charlize Theron, Nicole Kidman, and Margot Robbie are going inside the Fox sexual harassment scandal that brought down Roger Ailes in the new trailer, which came out for Bombshell. And in this trailer, Kidman's Gretchen Carlson urges someone has to speak up, someone has to get mad.
And you guys see it?
I did not yet.
It's pretty amazing.
Well, John Lithgow as Roger Ailes. Oh, my God.
Did they put a lot of weight on him?
They sure did. And, wow. I mean, he did a great job as Winston Churchill, but he's a chameleon. But all three of the women actresses do an amazing job at looking like they are supposed to look like. But John Lithgow as Roger Ailes is, and Steve, I couldn't help but laugh because I'm thinking about your impression of him.
Wait.
wrong effects button. I like ribs. A fart in my face.
Roger Ailes just always looked disgusting.
Yeah, sure did.
He always just imagined that the ripples in his chin held all sorts of residual food.
Alana Eubox, Jeanine Pirro, declares in the newsroom, we need everyone on Team Roger in the trailer. The film drops December 20th, and Theron tells Ellen DeGeneres that she hopes that Gretchen Carlson will see it. She said, we used a lot of source material in finding the story and also spoke to a lot of women who were part of the story. Some of them were still working at Fox. Some of them really didn't want their names out there. So as a team, we decided just to really kind of protect our sources. She said, Megan is fully aware of the film, and I'm hoping that she'll see it. We want everybody to see it who's involved in the story. Excuse me.
I'll tell you what's going to make an interesting movie if they ever do is Ronan Farrow's book. If they ever get that source material, I mean, if they can, someone buys that, that's going to be wild.
Well, I got a little tidbit on that if you want. Harvey Weinstein apparently hit up Woody Allen to help to take down Ronan Farrow, according to his new expose, Catch and Kill. Now, Farrow and his father have been estranged for years. Allen's adopted daughter, Dylan Farrow, has accused him of sexual assault. The Charger brother supports both Allen and Weinstein deny wrongdoing. Farrow, of course, was one of the key reporters who broke the story that eventually led to Weinstein being accused of misconduct, including rape by dozens of women. Now, Farrow is also credited helping instigate the Me Too movement, which activists and Allen himself have cited as the reason that Allen lost out on a multi-million deal with Amazon. In Catch and Kill, the book, Farrow writes, Weinstein seemed to want a strategic playbook for squashing sexual assault allegations and for dealing with me. And apparently Weinstein had asked Woody Allen, how did you deal with this? But Allen declined to get involved.
Not very well.
According to Farrow, he said, geez, I'm so sorry. Good luck.
Nice talking to you.
Also claims that Weinstein tried to hire intelligence firms to squash the story.
Listen, Javi, I can't talk right now. I'm rehearsing my scenes for Captain America.
Weinstein denies the claims, and his spokesperson said it is a fiction to suggest that any individuals were targeted or suppressed at any time.
So the word is, as you read excerpts from Ronan Farrow's book, is that Harvey Weinstein, there was sort of a mutual destruction. He was asking NBC, the higher-ups, to help him, and they were both working to keep... So they wanted to keep the Matt Lauer story from getting out, which Weinstein was holding over their heads.
Right.
And Ronan Farrow had brought this Harvey Weinstein stuff to NBC, so he said, you don't report that, and I won't get this out.
Wow.
How disgusting, right?
Yeah, totally. Wow. Hey, Kevin Smith, our buddy, is defending comic book films after Martin Scorsese likened them to theme parks. He told The Hollywood Reporter outside of the premiere of his latest film, Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, on Monday, he said, Martin Scorsese is a genius. But to be fair, my entire film career, even prior to my film career, he's been pretty much saying the same thing about action movies. He also argued that Scorsese has done a superhero film. He said, for my money, I think Martin Scorsese made the biggest superhero movie ever, which was The Last Temptation of Christ. Don't get much bigger of a superhero than Jesus. He beat Superman and Robert Downey Jr. every time, so maybe Martin is bending on that territory. So he's kind of poking at him a little bit.
Yeah, you know, we had Mark Maron in, and you know, a couple of people have gone on the offensive against superhero films. I think, to me, I liken them to our... to our pop culture lore, the way Camelot and all that stuff is, and you know, the class, this is a lot of this stuff, like the Western is an American art form. And to me, if you can't find good emotional filmmaking in Endgame or a number of the Marvel movies, you're not paying attention.
But I also understand if you just don't get it.
Yes, and the wrong thing to do is just try to convert someone. Yeah. It's not going to go. But for us, and we love it, clearly, there's a lot in there. I'll take the scene where Ant-Man shows up at his house in Endgame, and his daughter is older, and he meets her at the door. That is or when Tony Stark's daughter wants the cheeseburger. You know, at the end, those are emotional scenes.
Listen,
they're well done.
It's a really, really small scene in Endgame where
it's the quiet moments just as much as less than the big action.
Yeah, well, like Black Widow when she's talking to Captain America and they find out where Hawkeye is.
Yeah,
she loves that guy. It's not her husband or boyfriend, but like she loves him like a brother. And he's not doing, you know, right. He's doing bad things, and it's breaking her heart. I mean, that was just, it was a wonderfully acted scene, but, and I'm with you, like, I'm not going to defend.
No,
I love it, and the scene, like,
and listen, I love Scorsese.
And if you don't like it, then that's fine as well.
Yeah.
So this Jay and Silent Bob reboot, they're doing a movie tour, so I guess it's in theaters for a day or two, and then they're taking it out on the road. And they're in Philly on November 7th at the Philadelphia Film Center. But the night before, they're in Pittsburgh. And then the night after, they're in Boston. So, Case, I don't know if you have had any conversations with Kevin. But
I have.
It probably hasn't. He does, probably doesn't have a lot of time during that tour to come
he
in.
He makes time, man.
Does he?
Yeah, well,
all right.
He likes being on the radio.
Okay.
I mean, he really, really
it's a Thursday,
it.
November 7th.
I hope he can get him in. He's awesome.
Yeah. I have more superhero news. Carnage is being joined by Shriek from the Marvel Cinematic Universe in Sony's upcoming Venom sequel.
Huh. They're making a second?
Yes, they are.
I didn't even watch it. I watched part of it, and I just kind of I checked out.
I didn't hate it.
That's part of the reason I think that you're getting a little bit of blowback from some of the superhero stuff is there's so much of it now.
Yeah.
It used to there was a time where I would not miss any one of these movies that came out. But now I'm missing a couple of them here and there just because there's so many of them.
It's the same happened to me with the CW stuff is that I had to start. There was an overload, and I get it. There's a glut of these now. Venom has grown on me. The first time I saw it, I thought, okay, all right. And then I began
It did
to,
well.
Yeah, it did
made
very well.
$856 million at the box office on a $100 million dollar budget. So it was a success, no question.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. And there was another one that
It's actually funny, too, Case. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. But also Dark Phoenix I didn't hate. I don't, did anybody watch that yet?
I haven't seen it. I've heard nothing but bad about it.
I didn't mind it. I really didn't mind it.
You know what I can't stand, though? I can't stand a half hour of cities lifting off their foundation. Is that
you
in
don't
it?
Get, no.
I got it. This thing, look at the power. Oh, my God. The buildings are flying. Stop it.
Well, anyhow, they're going to do another one, and those characters are going to be in a Carnage and Shriek. And you know what? We'll move over to the clips if you guys are.
Maybe.
We've had to make some concessions here to make these things work. We've had some technical issues this morning. In Jojo Rabbit, a lonely German boy living during World War II discovers that his single mother is hiding a Jewish girl in their attic. In this clip, Sam Rockwell talks about the inspirations that he used for his character, Captain Klenzendorf.
I watched Brando and the Young Lions. I watched Oscar Werner and Ship of Fools and, just worked on it phonetically. But I kind of saw him as more like Bill Murray with a German accent or Walter Matthau on Bad News Bears. That was kind of my model for him.
This is special.
Is this a comedy?
Yeah. Yes.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and Taiki Waititi plays Hitler, and it looks hilarious. I think that Taiki took Hitler and made him funny.
Okay. I love Sam Rockwell. Man, we were so close to get him in the studio day, and they had to cancel the trip.
Sucks.
He is so good at comedy and drama. All right, Jojo Rabbit hits theaters October 18th. Let's do the next clip. A group of friends form a support system as they raise their young children in the comedy Single Parents. Here, Jake Choi explains the method that he uses to play a single father.
Miggy's confident. He thinks he knows everything, but he doesn't. So as an actor, I don't want to lean too much into like his dumb aspect. It's really more him thinking he knows everything.
Play him. a new episode of Single Parents is on ABC tonight. That will be at 9:30. And there you go. That's our report for today, friends. A lot going on the program. Danica Patrick's going to be on the show. Andrew Greenblatt and Michael Lerman, who are from the Philadelphia Film Festival, are stopping by today. We also have from the Hooters, Rob Hyman and our buddy Pierre Robert. They're both accepting some awards. We'll tell you about that down the road.
It is very cool.
We also have a meet and eat today. And the 2019 Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle is happening tomorrow night. It'll be at Stanley's Tavern. Our buddy Brent Porsche and the MM Army will be there.
Always very exciting.
And 7 to 9 is when that is. They are located at 2038 Falk Road in North Wilmington. And if you come out tomorrow night to the event, you could win a pair of Eagles Bears tickets courtesy of Bud Light Platinum. How about we give you a $25 gift card? Caller number 15, it's yours, 215-263-WMMR. So go ahead and give us a call right now, and we have a chance to win that. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us on this Wednesday morning.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dirty Honey. You know the time has come, so don't miss me when I'm gone. Shine Down. Ghost.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, can I plug my gig on Friday?
Oh,
Saints headed back out on the road. we're going to be playing at the Broken Goblet.
Where's your sounder?
Friday night.
There you go.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. It's the return of Saint Friday Night of the Broken Goblet in Ben Salem. 8:30 cool. to 11:30, I believe. 8:30, 9:30, 10:30. Yeah, I think it's 11:30.
Yeah. Well, you got to be home at a certain time.
Dude, are you kidding me? If it's before midnight we wrap up, I'm a happy camper. Happy camper.
Do you finish off the last few songs in your robe?
I should. Just ready to go night-night.
Some hot milk.
No, one of the things I forgot about being in a band, and I didn't until we went out and played our first gig, I'm like, oh.
The loadout?
We got to put all this crap away now. Jeez, that's another hour. Just to put that crap away.
And you've got the worst. You're the drummer.
I know. I have all the stuff.
Yeah. You have a weekend coming up, man. You got Saint on Friday night, and then Laurel House 5K on Sunday morning, right?
Laurel House, yeah. So Saint on Friday night. Saturday night, Steve and I are accepting an award from the Freemasons of Philadelphia, which is a really cool event. Then Sunday morning, the Laurel House 5K. Right. You and I are doing that, Nick. You're not running.
I'm not running, no.
And then
he's tracked.
I'm going to bring my scooter.
And then he's going to be on your back, bro.
Sunday night, I am taking my daughter to the 21 Pilot Show.
That's amazing. God.
Oh, wow.
Which is a band that she's obsessed with, so I'm more than happy to do it, but it's on a crazy busy weekend on a Sunday night.
I'm looking at this, as with always, tons of charities. There's one weekend coming up where I have three charities back to back.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, Press, you're not doing The Rock for the money, right? You're just doing it for...
For The Rock.
For The Rock, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, then why don't you pay your sons to load you out at the end of the night?
That's a brilliant idea.
Honestly.
It is.
Yeah, if they were old enough to be in a bar, I'd say you're on
something.
Oh,
no. I mean, it's...
Get the fake ID.
It's the end of the night. And
no,
I mean,
that's actually how you get them in. That's what I used to do. I used to carry my cousin's equipment in, and nobody would say anything to me.
Stop it.
Yep.
You only have to be 18 to be... Like, if you're... quote unquote working.
A bar back.
Well, the bar's still going to be open, so we're not ending at close. So.
You know, it does say Tim's. Okay, so special musical performance by Saint.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's Friday night, Broken Goblet. And this is if you want to see us on a cool stage, is where you want to come to the show. It's in Ben Salem, by the way.
There you go.
I can't make it there on Friday night because I have to speak at a Catholic school gala. For Our Lady of Angels.
Yeah. Do you need somebody to break down the equipment for you at that?
Yes. I need somebody to peel. Dude, should I wear a tuxedo to that?
If you want to look stupid, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Good. All right.
Just wear a suit.
Anyway, I just wanted to plug the event.
What are you,
So we are... While we were off for a couple of days. We were off on Monday and Tuesday. Monday is a union holiday, which we took off, and then we took an extra day of vacation just to have a nice long weekend. Not all of us did. One of us stayed here. One of us actually came in to work. Kathy Romano was here. And part of a directive that came down from the higher-ups here is we need to clean up this area. Apparently, we've been living like, I don't know.
Swine.
Well, apparently, so I didn't know this, and I don't know who the guest was, but apparently we had a guest on, a pretty high-profile guest, that commented on how messy our studio was, and that's where it all...
What?
Yeah. That's where it stemmed from.
Wait, did they comment after they walked through the hanging down ceiling tiles, ripped up carpet, effed up office furniture, and they said that? Okay.
Dude, our office furniture, our green room furniture has been deteriorating for years. It's held up. I kid you not, this is not an exaggeration. It is held together with duct tape. With duct tape.
Well, so now with like all of the new things that are happening in the new offices across the hall, people are moving in. And so everybody's kind of trying to start fresh and new.
Okay. So they put Kathy, surprisingly enough, in charge of cleaning.
Well, she was here. They figured why not set the dogs of war loose
while we were gone.
And real quick. So Robin was in as well. And so when I started to, we would do a break and then, you know, I'd come in and start cleaning. And she got so excited that I was cleaning. She was like, can I help? And I was like,
Robin's very thorough.
Of course. Well, I had no idea, but apparently Pierre loves when she's in because she cleans his air studio whenever she fills in for somebody. So she was very excited to help me.
Was Bill Weston overseeing everything because he was rabid to get this done?
No, he came in when it was finished. He saw the final product.
Okay. But therein lies the issue. If somebody straightens up without your input or does it without even... Now, we knew you were going to be doing this, so it wasn't a big surprise, but... If people have cleaned up your area, your room, your workspace, whatever it may be, without your knowledge, that can that can piss you off.
And if they throw away things.
Totally.
That you do. Yes.
And I will say, I didn't throw anything out. So if you're missing something or you want to find something, each one of you, except for you, Steve, because you didn't really have a mess, but there's a box with your stuff in it. So if you're looking for something, it is there. And I didn't remove anything from the studio that you need in the studio.
Who is the most difficult to clean? Whose section?
Okay, so.
Probably mine.
Not really. You were okay. You have a lot of papers.
Yes.
And I didn't throw your papers out because they all have notes on them and I didn't know what the notes were. So
buy more paper.
So you had you had a lot of like loose leaf paper. Nick actually had cleaned up ahead of time. So oddly enough, Nick didn't have that much stuff at his space either. Steve, you had a couple of spills that you probably didn't know about. They were like under equipment. So I cleaned that up.
Didn't know that.
Casey had the most things and stuff, and Marissa, which I don't think she knew because I don't know if she turns her monitors off, but it looked like someone threw up on Marissa's stuff. Like,
really?
There was, yes, it might have been the spilled coffee, but it was like on the screens. It was like
she
on
had
the
a
back
big time spill last week. Yeah, and I'll bet you it was from that.
It might have been from that. Yeah.
And drywall all over the place.
And a lot of times when we're aroused, we'll you know,
and we'll go in.
It ends up on the screen.
We use her area.
The dust situation in here was like out of control in between the monitors. Like,
now
on
that
the
I've known
that
because
was...
my view from here, I can see a few gaps and I've noticed like loads of dust bunnies in there.
It was, it was pretty satisfying cleaning it.
Now, I know that as a parent, we've threatened to do this, but have never had to follow through on it, which is whatever is left on the floor, I'm throwing away. You know, if you've told time and time again, clean up, and they don't do it. Okay.
That's
anything else? I'm going in and I'm throwing it all away.
Parents always say that.
And
you've never done it.
Never actually had to do that. I'm sure some listening have or have had their parents do that before where they've gone and thrown like important things to them away just to get rid of them. And I'm certain that's happened before.
Where's my diabetes medication? Threw it out.
Let me go to Alejandro, who wants to comment on something like that. Alejandro, good morning.
Alessandro.
All right. What's up, man?
So my dad does this thing where he'll clean the house, and he's pretty good at, like, he's pretty anal about cleaning the house, I'll be honest.
It's disgusting.
And he will put stuff away, and it'll disappear forever.
He puts it away and it disappears, or he throws it away?
Yeah, putting away.
No, he claims he doesn't throw it away, but we're pretty sure that whatever he cleans up, he throws away because we'll never be able to find it ever again.
I think a lot of times that is the excuse that people will use. They'll say, I put it away, but what they really mean is they threw it away.
Yeah.
And hope that you never follow through on looking for it.
Listen, I definitely do that at home. I put it in a box in the basement.
And you threw it away.
I throw everything away at home.
Wow.
Yeah. So didn't you tell Casey that you put his stuff in a box?
I knew that Casey told me, he said, I'm going to be angry if anything gets thrown away. I specifically did not throw anything of Casey's. I didn't throw anything of anyone's away. It is all in a box. Even if it was like a loose leaf piece of paper, I did not throw it out.
Here's an interesting text. Says, we have a coworker we call the Rearranger Ranger because she's constantly moving stuff around a common area and throws everything away if it doesn't belong to her. It's infuriating. Well, yeah. If they're throwing stuff away that's not theirs.
So let me ask you this dynamic, Preston, because over now in sales, if they have stuff that goes up over the wall of their cubicle, they can actually be beheaded. They can get in trouble. So
yeah, they're not allowed to have anything personal hanging.
So what if you work in a situation, though, where you are in a cubicle and this is not as austere? My guess is all of this will relax eventually, but right now they just want it to look pristine. And you work, and the person's cubicle next to you has all sorts of stuff that sort of comes over into your area.
Right. I did see, I went back before that memo was issued.
Yeah.
I did see a couple of people had taken face pictures.
Yes.
Or cardboard cutouts of faces and had them, like, from the eyes up, nose up, over their cubicles.
Okay. Like Kilroy was here.
Yeah, like Kilroy was here. And it threw me off for a minute because I thought somebody was peeking over looking at me. And
don't you think, I think in a way, listen, I understand both sides of the coin here. I know that you want it to look professional and so on and so forth, but we are radio, we are an entertainment deal, and I think there should be a little bit of personality.
Orderly, but not sterile.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing.
Antiseptic. You don't want to look like a halfway house.
But listen, the stuff that was here, there were so many pint glasses and cups filled with the change, which I still have your change, Steve.
You can donate that to whatever you want.
Okay, all right. And then, like, pens. We had, like, 900 pens in here. It just was not necessary, and it looked messy. And we have some organizational items coming. So we have some pen jars that I'm going to containers that I'm going to put over there so you can put your highlighters and stuff in it.
We use the pens as treats for Jackie Bam Bam.
Right. Come here, Jackie.
So he can chew.
I use them as stir sticks, don't you?
Yeah, totally.
Chew toys.
What happened to
stir sticks and chew toys?
My Sharpie as
who handwrites anymore?
What happened to my pen cup that was right here that I use every single day?
Your pen cup with 900 pens is in your box.
Okay. Where's my box?
Under your desk.
Okay.
Which is in the dumpster.
Do I have a desk? I don't have a desk. I have cabinets. Yeah, I have cabinets. I don't have a desk.
There should be an area underneath
Under
your workspace.
I thought you had a desk. Yeah. It's under there.
Here's a text that says, my wife will throw away clothes out in the front yard if I leave them on the floor for over a day.
Yes.
A day.
In the front yard?
I'll throw them out of
the
house.
That's a little austere.
Listen, I know somebody who got divorced because his wife was such a neat Nazi. And it turned into, it was a huge battle every single day. And it was like, I mean, it was honestly, it was like two cars just kind of like,
colliding. You
know, colliding and revving and who was gonna push and who was gonna
move. Battle of the wills.
Because, you know, her thing was like, you know how much this annoys me. Why would you leave socks on the floor?
And because, like, I know it annoys you.
But and then his thing was like, but like, it doesn't bother me. So like and it's just socks, and it was, and then he couldn't take it anymore. I mean, it was like little things like that: socks on the floor, a plate in the sink, you know what I mean? And then he's like, "Dude, I can't take it anymore. Like, I can't be married to this person."
So here's the deal: my wife is up on her floor, the third floor, because we sleep in separate bedrooms. Our schedules are erratic, so she can have her room the way she wants. I do not like clothes on the floor. It drives me out of my mind. Mm. So, you know, even just put it up and put it on the hamper or whatever, anything. But on the floor, no. But she can do whatever she wants up there, and I do whatever I want.
What was that? We had a clip of when Bill Weston would see a plate in the sink.
Oh, it was walking on sunshine. The record scratch.
Bill,
it's a great day here at Peasley.
Yeah, Bill would be making his way through the office.
Walking down the hallway, everything freshly painted, fresh carpet tiles.
I'm walking on sunshine.
And walking by the sink.
It just ends.
You should have
ruins his day.
You should have seen Bill's face when he came into the studio to see it for the first time.
Like,
it's the
I'm going to have to go spank it.
It's the happiest he's ever been with me, I think, in our however many years we've been here at MMR. He was like, it looks great. I mean, if somebody needs a sugar packet, they can just leave the studio and go get it.
Kathy, it's no secret that I never really liked you. But today?
Yeah. Totally. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, Bill doesn't hang on to stuff or have clutter. You know, like a blow dart gun behind his door that's been there for 15 years.
Or I saw him walking down the hallway with it.
Where
are you going with that? It's a cool blow dart gun, though. I have to give him that.
But, you know, he has walls that he's allowed to hang things up on. I'm not allowed
to
hang.
Not anymore.
Well, I was just in his office. He has a freaking picture of Cole Beasley in a Dallas Cowboys uniform. Yeah, well, he used to be a wide receiver for the Cowboys. Now he's a receiver for the Bills. Bill grew up in Buffalo, right. So he's a Bills fan. But, like, I'm like, well, you're allowed to have things on, but I can't have pictures of my kids on the on this little.
But it's not about the pictures of your kids. This is what was explained to me, is that it's hanging on, like, the sales area. It can't be in plain view. So I took Casey's pictures of his family. I obviously did nothing with them. And I put them on the inside of your cabinet. So they're still there. You can open it up.
And you also, it's
like a school locker.
You put a picture of my cat on the inside as well.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I found a few things that I left for everyone.
Picture of Sarah Clayton.
But this is, a lot of people don't know that, Casey, you rescued Sarah Clayton.
I did.
By the way, thank you, Kathy, for keeping the photo of Rockstar Rob underneath my desk over here. I think it's his prom photo.
Let me go to some calls here and people who would clean up without your permission. I'm going to go to Mary. Hey, Mary, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, you're on the air, Mary. Go ahead.
So my dad, growing up, basically we called him the Terminator. And when he would clean, he would put your things out on his workbench in the garage, which we referred to as death row. If you didn't know that it was missing within 2 weeks, it was gone. And my uncle used to own these sports adventure shops that sold the pool tables. I had like five of those really nice neon lights that I always wanted to hold on to for when I had a house.
Okay.
Finally bought the house. They were in storage up in the attic. I went up to get them. They were like $300 a piece. He had thrown them all out.
Oh, my God. All of them?
Yep. All five of them.
Oh. So let me ask you something. Quick question, Mary. What was his area like? What was his personal space like? Was it totally organized, or did
he? Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because I don't.
He was in the military.
All right. Well, then it makes sense. I hate the hypocrisy, though, when someone's all worried about your crap and their area is a mess.
I love
that. I couldn't accuse him of that.
All right.
I love the name Death Row, though.
Death Row.
Yeah, they put it, if it's on there for a certain amount of time, it's gone.
The worst is my dad. So my dad wasn't totally organized, but one time we had a garage sale. And I mean, I don't know. It's like when a gambler finds out they're a gambling addict. So Preston, I had just gotten an archery bow like a week before.
Yeah.
He sold it.
No.
He sold it.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
What?
If Jace doesn't play with something for like a week, it's going.
Yeah.
It's out.
Going where? Where does it go? Trash?
No,
to heaven.
I mean, well, it depends on.
Yeah. It goes with other toys to a farm and runs around with other toys.
It depends. Like, I'll pass it down, or if it's trashed, it gets thrown out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's a text from Dawn in Voorhees. Says, I've done it twice. Told my son if he didn't clean up his toys in his room, I was going to give them to somebody who appreciates them. Give him a full week with constant reminders. End of week, it was worse. So I made him help me pick it all up, the large plastic toy box, and then I made him help me carry it into the car and take it to Goodwill. And he tried to act all cool, thinking I wouldn't follow through, but I did.
Wow.
Yeah, so sometimes you'll do it.
We call my cousin the psycho cleaner-upper because the kids would play when his kids were little, and like as they were playing, he was cleaning up behind them. So they used to call their dad psycho cleaner-upper.
So wow. I'm, you know me, I like a little bit of organization. I mean, I like things at square angles.
Yeah.
I guess that's an OCD thing. So I can understand a little bit of that. But I like things organized, you know. But I'm not crazy. Some people are just, they're not even living. They're so actively cleaning that they're not just relaxing. Romano. It's just too much.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to Donnie. Donnie, good morning.
Hey, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, buddy?
When I was like 14, I think, my dad gave me the ultimatum of clean up your room or I'm coming through with a trash bag.
Okay.
I went in, I cleaned everything up. I had two game systems up there with like a small TV, GameCube and N64.
Yeah.
I had tucked them both under my desk, but they were still on the floor.
Oh, no.
They both got put in the trash.
He threw out a GameCube? You should have slit his throat.
most game systems are on the floor.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, also, if it's something that you... So he just threw them away, didn't even ask you.
Yep.
Did he pay for those?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay, he knew what he was doing.
You're not my father.
Yeah. See, that's the problem with some of the stuff when I threaten to throw away that my children have. Like, I bought that.
Right.
And I'm going to... most likely have to buy another one if I throw it away.
But you have to make the stand, right?
Yeah.
Honestly. They're bad. If you stop and think about it, that's on the floor.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Your furniture?
I have, I've been a parent for a little while now. I'm almost 14 years. And what I have found out is that if I make threats that I have to really follow through on them.
Yeah.
And I can only really make threats that I'm comfortable following through
on.
You know what I mean?
So. Yep. Let me go to Gary. Hey, Gary.
Hey, good morning, folks. You guys rock.
Hey.
What's up, bud?
Listen, so my brother needed my mom to go to his house because some furniture was being delivered and somebody needed to be there while he was at work to receive the furniture. So her being the kind soul she is, decided to clean up his house a little bit for him. He's single and childless and didn't keep his house in the best of the neatest of conditions. So while she's cleaning up, she picks up a bottle that she thought was empty, but there was some liquid in it. So it slipped out of her hand when she picked it up. It hit the table, and on the dining room table, it spilled on and ruined a personalized autographed picture from Tony Bennett.
From Tony Bennett?
He had an autographed picture of Tony Bennett.
Dear Sandra, that was the best hand job I ever had.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Wow. It took the title right down.
Very personal.
Yeah.
Wow.
I left my heart in San Francisco, but I left something else on your couch.
Oh, my God.
So she was trying to help out, be doing my thing, and without his permission was cleaning up and ended up ruining an autographed picture that was laying on his...
Wow, man. Oh, oh, that sucks.
That's terrible.
See, it shows you the pitfalls of cleaning up.
Oh, yeah. My God. Thank you, Gary. So he left his heart in San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
There's something else on your couch.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they had OCD... people back in, like, the caveman days?
I think they did. I think there was certain people who would straighten up the cave a little too much.
Yeah, the caves were
when everything
beautiful.
Was dirt.
What odd tell you about this boulder?
Yeah.
What odd tell you about boulder?
What happened to rock?
You never really stop dusting.
No.
No.
And that's all it was back then, was dust.
Yeah, therein that's it.
Therein lies the problem.
Dust would be considered property at that point. Wow. Let's see. Okay, let's go to Jay. Hi, Jay. Good morning.
You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, bud?
So, this is going back into the 80s. Remember the top sticker books you used to have to collect?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I had just completed my very first one. I was probably young. And my mom told me that she needed my room cleaned. Well, I did not. Oh. She ripped the book in half.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All that work, damn it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now, was it, it was laying out and it wasn't supposed to be out? Is
yep.
that?
Yep, it was on the floor of my room.
Oof.
You should have marched into her room and tear up her picture of Tony Bennett.
But here's the deal. And if you've been told multiple times, I'm not saying that's necessarily Jay's case, but if you've been told as a kid multiple times, you got to clean this up, you got to clean this up, you got to clean this up, and they don't. If you don't clean it up and throwing it away, then you got to make good on that.
But something that was like meant something to a child or they worked hard on, like I would never destroy that or throw
that out. But to Preston's point, though, if you've gone to great lengths and given every out possible... If you don't follow through, then right with you, with Jason,
yeah, listen,
you
I would
have to have a point at which they realize there is an inevitable consequence to ignoring this.
Sure, but I would never destroy something that he worked
that's
on.
Why,
I mean, that's something that we teach him is you don't touch other people's work. You don't mess other people's work.
Yeah.
You don't tug on Superman's cape.
But that's exactly, so don't make that threat, you know, because again, you have to follow through on that threat.
Here's a text says, we call the cleaning lady at our office the tornado. When she dusts our cubicles, all of our stuff is knocked around and rearranged, and she also knocks our headsets off their chargers so we can't have meetings in the mornings because the juice is drained from them. People don't bother bringing in many decorations or personal items. I walk into work and it's, oh, man, I got NATO'd.
Once every 2 weeks, Preston, we have a woman come by the house and does the clean. You know, the stuff that and
we have a weekly clean.
Yeah. Right. So she comes by and she is so good. Like if there was a penny on the floor in the corner, she will dust on it and put it back. I mean, that level
that's
of
good.
Precision, it's really...
Oh, ours gets... Everything is put away in a drawer. There's a movie, and I can't remember what it is, but, like, the woman finds the hairbrush in the kitchen in with the, you know, the eating utensils because the cleaning ladies just put everything
just
away.
Throw it somewhere.
That's
yeah.
like mine. Everything is put away in a drawer, so you have to go searching for whatever you're missing.
Well, that's what we're doing around here. Because Kathy came through, did a little clean
we
job.
We got NATO'd.
Was this yesterday?
It was Monday and Tuesday. It took 2 days.
Someone got Romano'd.
Someone needs to take a picture of the wild floor tile design or the carpet tile.
Oh, that's a
I had nothing to do with the carpet design in our new green room.
Yeah, they ran out of the carpet tiles they were using in our green room, so they just grabbed some spare ones from somewhere else.
So, like, three quarters of the room is...
I'm hoping they're going to change that, right?
Chuck thinks that that's just a temporary solution.
Okay,
I really hope so.
It's like a little trail.
But I really want to know who this high-profile celebrity was that came in. And
I don't know.
I'm curious about
that,
too.
Yeah,
I'm quite curious about that. All right, anyhow, we have a new pristine, clean office. We'll see how long that lasts. But we do need to take a break. We're going on Fox Good Day this morning.
Yes.
So we need to do that and come back and do the bizarre file. We also have a few other guests. Danica Patrick's going to be on the program. Rob Hyman of the Hooters is stopping by with Pierre at the end of the program to talk about this very cool Walk of Fame ceremony that's on the way. So we'll take a quick break. We'll give away a $25 gift card for Stanley's Tavern, who are hosting The 2019 Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle tomorrow night. Brent Porsche will be there. Call number 16 at 215-263-WMMR. We'll set you up with it. Don't forget, they're at 2038 Falk Road, North Wilmington. We'll be right back.
Hang with Marissa Magnata tonight from 5:30 to 7:30 for Oktoberfest at Dilworth Park. Open to guests of all ages, enjoy live music, activities, and seasonal fare. Visit DilworthPark.org for details. Join Jackson tomorrow morning from 9 to 11 for the 14th annual tent sale at Quadratech in Westchester with interactive Jeep displays from top industry vendors, the latest gear, and special pricing and open box deals on Jeep parts and accessories. Details at Quadratech.com. Tomorrow night at 10, Jackie Bam Bam hosts the Vampire, Sex, and Ghosts haunted tour through Old City. From Grim Philly, rated the number one ghost tour in Philly by TripAdvisor. Info and tickets at GrimPhilly.com.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
Preston and Steve show on this Wednesday morning. Going live on Fox Good Day in about 15 seconds, but just heads up on the weather. We're going to get rain today, starting around lunchtime, and then later on tonight it's going to get heavy. Very big storms coming.
They say the evening rush is going to be very problematic.
Streve. Who's Streve?
It's a new name.
He's a Swedish guy that just joined the show.
Hello, Streve.
Hey, I'm Streve.
Okay, well, let's call a guy talk here. There's certain rules that we all have, unspoken, a lot of them.
What is it, like man law or bro code?
When you go into a public urinal area, you do not look or talk to the man next to you at the at the urinal.
No, you right, just Preston? Give a shoulder massage is what I do. Right, Preston?
Yeah.
Always.
When I'm going, Preston will come up behind and just massage my shoulders.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. You really can't talk? Like, you just don't. Can you talk but not look?
Well, don't look down.
If you don't know. And now, it depends. At a sporting event, sometimes you'll talk to the guy next to you.
Yeah, yeah.
About what's going on at the game or whatever. So if you're in a packed bathroom like that, sometimes guys will talk while they're doing their business. But if you know the person, it's okay. We do it here at work.
Yeah. A nod?
But to a stranger, no. Mm-mm.
Or you kind of nod the nod that says, I'm sexually fluid.
Exactly. Do you ever put your beer up on the urinal while you pee?
There are two spots. You can either do it right on the porcelain or you can do it on the hardware. Sometimes you can balance it. I prefer to put it up on the hardware where it kind of leans against the wall a little bit. But yes, I will do that.
I will put my steak up on the up on the
Steve
porcelain.
Doesn't drink.
I don't drink, so I'll put my London broil right on top of the urinal.
Without a plate. Wow.
There are some places though that have you seen have little cup holders that are the forward thinking
or a shelf above it.
A shelf,
which
they're
pretty
really
cool.
It's not
back in the day. There were some restaurants, I think, in Rittenhouse Square that had newspapers you could read while you peed.
Oh, really?
There's actually...
Sometimes there's TV monitors and
TV
things like
monitors.
That. But how about, hey, Mike, how about the old trough days? How fun were those?
Oh, yes. We had those at my school.
With ice in it.
Mike, I don't know if you remember...
With ice.
Penn Station used to have a circular...
There was a Home Depot I used to go to that had one
so
of those.
So that it was a communal urination.
No. You're all facing each other.
You're all facing each other like some bizarre, some bizarre urine hoedown.
Mm-hmm.
Woo-hoo! Some it's kind like, of circle.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, how do you not talk when you're looking at somebody then?
Well, I think I tend to sing.
<The nod>.
Moon River.
Oh, my God.
Well, the acoustics in the bathroom are good.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
Oh, we're done now. All right. See you later.
Yeah, we're done. That was one of the best hits ever with them.
Instead of talking about unsaid rules, we spent the entire time talking about peeing. How fun is that?
Now you're in our house.
Dude, exactly.
That's just a weird design. A circular urinal?
Yeah. Yep. It was at Penn Station, which was obviously tremendously trafficked.
Yeah.
And
hey.
People were in. And you're looking across at some dude whizzing.
Steve, did it have a foot bar basically at the bottom where you would hit it and the water would come out and flush the whole thing out? Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about.
I have an ongoing dream that I have every couple of months that I go into a public restroom and there are no doors on the stalls and I have to, and it like similar to, you know, a men's bathroom where you would use the urinal and I have to go to the bathroom and it's like,
oh my God,
I know for whatever reason, it's like a nightmare.
When I was in junior high, our stalls did not have doors on them. It was to deter, like, smoking or whatever it may be.
They took them off. They thought it was a smart move.
I don't like taking a dump in a public bathroom in the first place. Yeah. There's no way. If I had raging diarrhea, I never would have done that.
Dude.
I would have found a closet somewhere.
I used to have that same thing, and now I'll do it on the way to the bathroom.
Right.
It doesn't matter. But I mean, yes, there are certain things. I'm always reminded, Preston, of that the bathroom scene in Full Metal Jacket. Toilets with no divider.
That's my nightmare.
But I mean, that's done for a purpose.
Yeah.
To make you, you know,
break them down.
Break them down.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I actually, it would be the wiping process that I would probably.
You have to be comfortable with the person you asked to do it.
Can you wipe me?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't quite reach this. You
have big ham hands.
I'm wiping.
I feel like at junior high that not having any doors on that's like child abuse, man. That's like mental child abuse.
It sucked.
That's terrible.
But and I can safely say I never saw one person ever using those.
Well, yeah. I bought my own door.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah. That's a way to do it.
I just go to the bathroom with the door under my arm.
Or you just have like some parchment paper, you know, and you just roll it out and stick it over the door.
I had a kid kick the door open on me in high school. It was like, I was in there doing my business. Traumatized. And like, so these two guys came in. I hear one of them say something like, oh, it smells like S in here. And then they come down.
That's odd in the bathroom.
Yeah, I know.
This is weird.
I'm like all the way down at the far end, as far as from the door as possible. And it smells like S in here, and then goes boom, kicks the door open. And I'm like, does it smell that bad? Oh my god, nightmares, Preston.
Okay,
nightmares.
Imagine. All right.
Wow. Anyway,
they're all gonna laugh at you.
You know what we didn't do? I'm sorry to change things up, but we didn't get traffic, so let's do that now, and then we can get to the Bizarre Files. This wasn't weird enough. Kathy, what's going on this morning?
In Princeton, we've got an accident here. So Route 1 northbound between Washington Road and Harrison Street. Two left lanes are blocked. It's really causing jam traffic there. Pretty much stopped at this point. 295 northbound at Route 130. An accident just cleared from there. 73 both directions at Jackson Road. Road construction in the right lane, they're saying now until 5 p.m. On 42 northbound, your jam Coles Road to 295, 55 northbound, heavy 47 to 42. Heading over the Ben Franklin Bridge westbound, that's jam the toll plaza to 8th and Vine. On the Schuylkill eastbound, it's heavy 202 into Belmont. The Boulevard to South Street westbound, Passyunk to 30th, the Boulevard to Belmont. The Blue Route out to 202, the Vine westbound, heavy 95 to the Schuylkill. On the Blue Route northbound, your jam 95 to Route 1 southbound, Broomall to Media, 95 southbound, heavy Cutman through to Girard. On the northbound side, we are back up from Chichester Ave to 320 and then from Island Ave to Broad Street, the Walt Whitman Bridge to the Vine Expressway. This traffic report brought to you by Dodge. With Dodge Power Dollars, for every horsepower of your new Dodge vehicle purchase, you'll get $10 off. Peeling out in a Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye, you just got $7,970 off. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Final.
Brought to you this morning by the Bates Motel. The Bates Motel in Glen Mills is the number one rated haunted attraction in America. It is designed to scare you, and it will. Get discount coupons at participating Dunkin' Donuts and all those locations, and thebatesmotel.com as well. This is a really wild one, man. Dutch police found a father and six adult children hidden in the basement of a remote farmhouse where they reportedly spent years waiting for the end of time.
Whoa.
They discovered a man believed to be the father of the family and his children aged between 18 and 25 near the village of Runerwold. The family were found after one of the sons went to a nearby pub in a confused state, drank five beers, and then asked for help, saying that he had not been outside for 9 years.
So this reminded me of like 10 Cloverfield Lane and all those Kimmy Schmidt.
Where they
think the world around them basically has ended.
Police arrested a 58-year-old man at the scene for failing to cooperate with the investigation, but he was not the father. Police investigated after receiving a tip-off from somebody who was concerned about the people's living conditions and discovered the adults, according to the mayor of the town. They lived an isolated lifestyle, he said. They have been living on the homestead for the past 9 years, and several of the children had not been taken up in the birthing register or officially registered. Many questions were unanswered, and police are investigating all scenarios. The family, meanwhile, had been taken to a nearby holiday park while the investigation continued. A local news station said the family had been living in the basement for years, waiting for the end of times. Some of those freed had no idea that other people existed.
Had no idea. Oh, they thought they were the only people on Earth.
Police were alerted after a man had believed to be the family's oldest son walked into the village bar on Sunday evening. He was disheveled, unwashed, and wearing old clothes. Said he had not been outside for the past 9 years. The bar owner, Chris Westerbeek, said that he had never been to school and seemed very confused, and he spoke in a childish way.
Where are the hookers?
This is the first question.
The man told Westerbeek that he ran away from home and urgently needed help. Upon investigation, police discovered a hidden staircase behind a cupboard leading to a cellar where a man said to be the family's father and five others believed to be his children were hiding. Aerial photos showed a remote farmhouse surrounded by fields. The family had no contact with the outside world and were completely self-reliant with a vegetable garden and a goat.
We have a goat.
The father had a stroke a few years ago and was lying in bed. There was no sign of his wife. Neighbors told the station that they did not know the family, and they only knew that one man lived on the premises. So I am very interested to see more of the details on this story.
What a brutal thing to do to the kids.
Oh, my God, yes. Inhuman. Three employees at a North Carolina, speaking of inhuman, a North Carolina assisted living facility were arrested after police said they ran a fight club with elderly residents with dementia battling it out against each other.
Yeah.
These are insane people. The women were accused in court documents of watching, filming, and even encouraging a fight between a 70-year-old woman and a 73-year-old woman at the Danby House Assisted Living and Memory Care Facility in Winston-Salem. Marilyn Laddish McKee, Tanisha Yvonne Tyson, and Tanisha Deshaun Jordan were each charged with assaulting disabled persons. Police announced their arrest Friday following an investigation into a June complaint of elder abuse in the facility. During the filming of the fight, one of the combatants was heard yelling, "Let go, help me, let go," as McKay, Tyson, and Jordan continued to watch. At some point, one of the staffers told the resident to stop screaming, bitch. Danby House said
that's the kind of care you want for your grandparents.
In a statement that McKay, Tyson, and Jordan were fired in June when managers were alerted to the situation. Well, they're going to prison. They should go to prison for that. We'll see what happens.
At Happy Acres, all of our elder fights use boxing gloves.
A woman from Naples reportedly had her arm and foot severed when she was hit by an airplane propeller on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
I'll have to get you a better story after all this.
Yeah.
The sheriff's office said it happened at Key West International Airport. Initial reports indicate the pilot and female passenger were preparing to taxi in a private plane when the plane wouldn't move or was having some kind of unknown mechanical issue. Sheriff's office said the pilot exited the airplane while it was still running to see if the blocks that kept it stationary on the tarmac were still in place. The passenger also got out, and they walked to the front of the airplane where she was hit by the propeller.
There was a similar story years ago. I watched a documentary on this woman. She was a model, got out at night of a plane, and walked into the prop. Do you remember that?
I do remember that story. Man. Yeah. A crew with the Key West Fire Department transported her woman to the medical center. She was then airlifted to Miami. Her condition on Sunday was not immediately available, although authorities say it's not clear what issues the pilot was having when the accident happened.
It always made me feel uneasy when I would see people, because I don't know if this is still the case, but you would have to move the propeller yourself with your hand to get it started.
I think that's on older aircraft. Yeah. I think now you don't have to do that.
It's like it's akin, Casey, to kickstarting a motorcycle.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
I don't like it. So.
All right. And then one last story, a little bit better. For most people, well, I mean, somebody did die in this story, but anyhow.
But they were smiling.
Well, no, they had some fun, believe it or
not. Okay.
For most people, funerals are no joking matter, a time of grief, but there are those who believe that funerals should be a time of celebration, of laughter through tears, and at times, those who have such beliefs are, in fact, the people who have passed. One video has recently gone viral, and it features footage from a funeral of an Irishman. As family and friends gather around the casket, lowered into the open grave, suddenly a voice comes out of nowhere and proclaims, "Hello?" followed by a loud banging, seemingly coming out of the casket. The guy who died, his name was Shay. His wife, Anna Bradley, responded by saying that the actual recording was done in one take over a year before the funeral, so he must have been terminal.
Oh.
And she said, "My son told me about the recording the day before his funeral and revealed, explaining that the closest family were the only ones aware of the recording. So as the music of bagpipes fades into the distance, the voice continues saying, "Let me out, it's dark in here." And at first, people seem to be confused as to what's happening, but soon laughter starts to take over. And the video was originally shared by Andrea Bradley, who is the daughter of the late man, Shea Bradley. She uploaded the video to Facebook with a message saying, "My dad's dying wish, always the prankster, and you got him good, Papa Bear. And he gave us all a laugh just when we needed it. I will love you forever."
When did you put the recorder in there? Oh, I didn't.
So it was, I watched the video of it. It's a little weird.
It is weird, but it's fun.
But he apparently was known
as a guy
who pulled pranks. So it was in his, it would have been something he would have done.
That's the way he wanted it.
Yep. So she said, "Shea was a prankster, always thought outside the box and wanted to leave the family laughing." So there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file this morning. Don't forget, secret text word chance for you to win some tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco. He'll be in town in June at the Borgata. It's June 21st. Tickets are on sale now at theborgata.com. But text word to secret to 39333. We'll see if you can win a little bit later on. We'll do some more giveaways in a bit, not just yet. With our friends from Stanley's Tavern who are here from North Wilmington. They brought in some wings and ribs.
Good stuff.
Cornbread.
Cornbread.
Mm, love it. So we'll make sure we have your chance. And by the way, they are known to have the best rack in town.
Ah.
Best ribs for the past 14 years by Delaware Today Music. Today Magazine. But they've been around since 1935. I'm sure they have great music.
Yeah. They probably
do. You think so?
I play the oboe, but I know good ribs when I eat them.
We'll take a break and be back in a little bit. Danica Patrick's going to be on the show. Members here to talk about the Philadelphia Film Festival. Rob Hyman from the Hooters and more. We'll be right back.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Had a chance to go visit my dad in Kentucky over the weekend.
That's right. I didn't ask about that.
Well, but that's not the only place that I went to. I also decided while I'm roaming about the country, why not swing by Virginia and pop into the Just Saying Institute? Uh-huh. So I went there in person to pick up some new reports and just see what the guys have been working on.
Situated over 200 acres in Virginia or West Virginia?
Which was it prefer? West Virginia.
I think it was West Virginia. West Virginia. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It doesn't really exist, so it doesn't matter. The Just Saying Institute provides critical information to morning shows around the world, but really just one because we're the ones that made it up.
The men and women work very hard there at the
Just Saying Institute. Oh, my God. Tirelessly.
Yep. So I found that there's new information done by a survey that says that the average American hasn't made a new friend in 5 years.
American hasn't made a new friend in 5 years.
That is correct. Well,
last week, the Just Saying Institute had information about how many friends on average we have, right?
Right.
With women having substantially more friends than men.
In the poll, 45% of adults said that they find it hard to make new friends with reasons, including 42% saying it's because they are introverted or shy.
Right.
Which is the most amount, which is interesting. One-third saying it's because they don't like the bar scene. And another one-third...
Wait, they don't make friends because they don't like the bar scene?
I guess that's part of it.
I guess it's the only place you can make friends is while you're lit up at a bar.
And another one-third feeling that everyone else's circle of friends has already formed, making it harder to join the group.
Ah.
See, I agree with that. However, I have made new friends in the past 5 years.
But that's a direct result of my kids being in school, and I think that happens a lot.
So are you making friends with, like, 9-year-olds?
No, with the 9-year-old's parents.
Oh, okay, I got it.
How about this dynamic?
Yeah.
Your kids, one of your kids has a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
You become friends with their mom and dad.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden your kids, they're not friends at some point. Ooh. They separate. As happens throughout school, it can either happen abruptly or slowly.
Yeah.
And then you find out you're not socializing with those parents anymore. That's happened to us before.
Cut them off.
There were people that I thought we were pretty good friends with. And then one of our kids is no longer friends with one of their kids, and there's a fade away that happens.
So I was just going to say, I think it fades away. So I remember specifically a friend that I had, and I mean, we always remained friends, but we weren't best friends. I mean, we were constantly together, you know, all the time.
Because of the kids.
And then as we, you know, grew older, we kind of went in different directions. We always remained friendly, but we weren't as good of friends. And I remember her parents still coming over to my parents' house for, like, they would do Friday night, like, game night and things like that. And so they would still come over and hang out. And, you know, in the past, the two of us would then go out, but it moved past that and she wasn't coming over. But eventually that friendship faded away.
Yeah. No, ours was one of our sons was really good friends with this other kid. They would hang out, spend the night, blah, blah, blah. You know, we spent a lot of time. So we ended up hanging out with the mom and dad. And then,
was it a good time when you hung out with the mom and dad?
Oh, yeah, yeah, most definitely. And then their personalities just differed. And they went off on different tracks and. You know, we'd get in touch and not hear back from them. And
did you plead with your son? Don't let this go. We like these people.
Yeah, it was weird.
You're tearing us apart.
I tell you what, though,
it happens.
It's nice when your child has a friend and you actually get along with the parents.
Yeah.
Like it's.
Yeah, sure.
It's a nice thing.
So that dynamic happens. And then one happens for me, and it probably has happened for Marissa as well, because we have boyfriends and girlfriends, and you guys have been in established relationships for a long period of time. So I've been dating my girlfriend for about 3.5 years. Marissa's been dating her boyfriend for, what, I guess, 2 or so. And I have made friends through my girlfriend that I probably wouldn't have – they never would have come into my life if not for her.
At what point do you consider your girlfriend's friends your friends?
That's a really good question, and I don't know. And I don't know what it says about me, if I'm old and stodgy or whatever, but I'm hesitant to do it because I have my established friends. Like, and it's like they're nice people. Of course I would want to be friends with them. But it's a slow transition into actually being friends with me.
Well, when you go out with them, I'm sure you let them know you're kind of on borrowed time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The clock's ticking. You've got to do something. Yeah. Do something dazzling. I might start inking you in. But for now, it's pencil city.
Right. I mean, I literally have to like stop myself when I talk about my friend's wife because she's my friend.
Of course.
So I got to stop referring to Jeff's wife as. You know, my friend's wife.
Like, but it's habit.
I have literally known her and been friends with her since 1994.
You're friends now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's still referred to as Jeff's wife or my friend's wife.
My friend's wife. Right. I'm like, yeah. No.
She's your friend, too.
She's totally my friend. Like a great friend.
All right. Additionally, 29% cite family commitments for reasons that they can't make new friends.
Right.
28% not having hobbies that lend themselves to making friends.
Like Scrimshaw.
Yeah. And 21% name moving to a new city. Looking at friends we do have, the survey said that the average adult has 16 current active friendships.
Oh,
of
okay.
those, 3 are considered friends for life.
Uh-huh.
5 are worthy of hanging out together one-on-one, and 8 are generally well-liked, but not enough to hang out with them in person often.
Have you made some new friends over the past couple of years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have as well.
Actually, yes.
Yeah. And
1 or 2, but that's about
it. That's about it.
Who's your newest friend, do you think?
That's this guy who I picked up at a bus stop.
Yeah. Did he have an autographed picture of Tony Bennett?
Exactly. Yeah.
Is Dr. Mike your newest friend?
Well, Dr. Mike is, I consider him like my bestie, you know, because he's, I mean, you know, we are goofy on so many different levels.
Right.
And that's new. So, yes.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Mike.
He might be your newest friend.
Yeah.
I kind of
How about
was...
that guy seeing his wife? You know, Rico Suave?
Rico Suave. Yeah, Mike is in a class by himself. But I have friends, obviously, and I'm building some new friendships. But Mike is in the pantheon.
Right.
Here you go.
I don't want her spending my money with some young buck named Rico Suave.
I went into a little bit of a
Funk?
A little bit of a self-assessing funk because...
That's a good band name, by the way.
Self-assessing. I'm writing it down.
Yeah. It's the most depressing funk band on the planet.
Seriously.
You ready, ready for a good time tonight?
A bit of a depression.
Are you ready to look within inside yourself and see your personal faults?
Yeah, I am. All
right. Let's get started.
All right.
Thought maybe.
I'm with you, Case.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, that like maybe I'm not that like that likable, because like my
you are,
but like my friends, my closest like longest friends like don't call me to like do anything anymore. When I ask them to do things, they're like no, and I'm like, well, geez,
you were talking about this the other day.
Yeah. I remember.
And then guess what? This past weekend, like my longest friends, the guys that I've like been friends with since kindergarten, they had their annual golf tournament on Saturday. And I found out about it on Sunday.
And you weren't invited?
I wasn't invited!
Oh, my.
I wasn't invited!
They don't like you.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm like, all right, well, maybe I just got to go and re-examine myself.
You are one of the most likable persons I've ever met.
I don't know. Check the text message board, Preston.
Shut. The text message can suck this, man. You know?
But I was like,
if you take your cues from texts and Twitter, don't do that. I'll tell you this. You are eminently. I consider you a great friend.
Thank you.
And you do have many loyal, wonderful attributes. But sometimes people go, you know, they that's the essence of
life.
Of life.
Just, and I gave Casey a little bit of advice. I said, don't be the person who says, you didn't invite me. Why didn't you invite me?
Right.
I saw a relationship close to me that was really good go completely south because of that attitude. And honestly, instead of just saying it, you have these friends that are there, don't hold it up to that light and evaluate it that way. They're still friends. They just may not be the way you've been accustomed to having them as friends.
Casey says it jokingly, but he kind of means
truth
in jest.
There is, because, you know, what I have become is a guy that can get things, right? So, like, if this person who won't call me to do A doesn't hesitate to call me to see if I can get him concert tickets, like that's a little bit upsetting and a little bit hurtful, don't you think?
Yes. Feel you're being used, that's something you need to relate to.
Yes.
And that's not a true friend.
You're like Red in Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. Right?
Also, Casey, when they have asked you to do things, are you busy and you can't go a lot?
Do you have excuses for when they ask you to go out to things?
I can't tell you the last time I've been asked to do something.
Like I just...
With said... people.
I mean, there's like a few people that we've like that we just don't ask to do anything because we know either they don't want to go or they're just
or
never
tried a few times.
Yeah, and they're out. So it's like, okay, now they're just not on the group.
And
text,
to that point, Kathy, that has to, so yes, I will fall into that realm and that I'm more of a homebody. Yeah, also, if people are going out to a drinking thing or a thing
that's
where there's
not you,
it's not me.
Yeah,
I don't want you to feel like I'm there and I'm not having a good, like I learned that with my wife. She'll go out and she'll not, you know, she'll go out and drink and have, it's not, she's getting torn up
tear
or whatever.
Tear it up.
I want to sleep with other guys. No, but the, but it's, she can go have a better time if I'm not there for those things.
Right.
And those are, you know, that's a different level of friendship.
Marissa's wanting to jump in here.
Yeah. Case, I think this is like a third friendship thing that we've talked about where you kind of like get to a point in life where you need to like reevaluate our friends and maybe like you've grown out of each other. Like I realized it with about at around like 27 and again at like 31 or 32. And the obvious ones are like the friends that got married and had kids. They maybe moved to the suburbs or just, you know, changed their lives a little bit.
Yeah.
But they also weren't just going to happy hour on a whim at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
But that doesn't mean that you're not friends with them. You're just in a different spot in life.
But sometimes those friendships kind of change. And like those, like you just kind of lose touch with each other and you just don't have much to talk about anymore. And those are the people that maybe aren't calling you and stuff like that. And you just kind of have to like reevaluate the friends and the good people around you and maybe have a little turnover in your friendship circle.
There's one part of the stat from the Jessane Institute I found interesting. It says of those three that are considered, it says, wait a minute, survey found an average.
At the Jessane Institute, additional information is always at the ready.
The average adult has 16 current active friendships. Of those, three are considered friends for life. Five are, this is the part that I found interesting, five are worthy of hanging out together one-on-one. And I started thinking about, that's right, who would I feel comfortable spending like several hours or a good part of the day just me and that person? There's not a whole lot, to be honest, because after a while, you kind of, it can get a little awkward. Yeah. You kind of run out of things to talk about.
Oh, I know. And there, here's the thing. And you know, there are a select group of people that I can go out with. And I've told them that, you know, with a comp where I don't feel as if it's a continuation of the show and I'm interviewing someone.
Right.
I'm pulling conversation out of people.
Yeah.
And that becomes arduous. I would like a free flow of where it seems relaxed and you look at the clock and, oh, it's been 3 hours already. Right. That's when you know you have a good thing going on.
But that one-on-one thing is absolutely correct. I mean, that's sort of how I know who my really good friends are. There's no effort. It's make plans. If other people are going to make it, great. If they're not, it's just going to be the two of us. That's completely fine, too.
I have a reunion weekend coming up at the end of the month, and there's going to be 16 or 17 guys there, and there are I'm very excited to see all of them, but there are some that I would never just do a weekend with just those guys, you know? Right. And the other guys that are coming, I'm like, yeah, no problem anytime.
Do you know, it's a weird dynamic, and Mike and I have talked about this, that we don't get to see each other a lot, but there's that thing there that, you know, we'll hop on the phone, and he feels connected because he listens to the show, and it's at that level. And so also, he's a friendship that doesn't demand a lot from you, that understands the weird schedule. He's got a weird schedule. I have a weird schedule, you know, and it's there, but you don't always need to massage it, you know?
All right. Friendships. Interesting. The average American hasn't made a new friend in 5 years. That's what they said at the Just Saying Institute. Let's see what else they said at the Institute.
Just Saying Institute, monorail rides leave on the hour.
On the hour?
That's how convenient it is.
I don't know what this guy
is. You got to wait around. Breathe in the lush 200 acres.
Kids love to whine, little kids do, and experts say that baby humans and even some baby animals use whining to bridge a gap with an adult.
A friend of mine has a baby human.
baby human. The whining is like nails on a chalkboard. I can't take it.
The behavior usually peaks in toddlerhood and then decreases with age, but some adults whine to their partners, and some babies can develop a whiny-sounding cry as early as 10 months old. Whining was found to not only get the attention of parents in an experiment, but also the attention of strangers nearby, which can encourage parents to attend to their child faster, if only to avoid embarrassment.
Yep.
So the whine is used as a tool.
That's why they'll do it in public.
Those little brats know.
They know. Also, kids.
I used to just say, "You're whining. You're whining. That's whining."
Also, kids.
Would they stop? Would Jay stop?
I mean, as he got older, yes, because he understood. I mean, not when he was, you know, 10 months old was I saying that. But no, as he got older, yes. And now he'll like kind of stop and he's like, can I have my iPad?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, I wasn't. No. Oh. I was just laughing. I was just fake laughing.
I saw your hand go up. I thought you had something to say. Also, kids generally whine to those that they're emotionally attached to and not to strangers because it won't work on strangers.
With the stranger.
So it's very targeted.
Yeah.
Pediatric psychologists say to get your kid to stop whining, ignore their behavior, which sometimes is really hard to do.
Abandon them.
No.
Just leave them wherever they are.
Notice a behavior that leads to whining and stop it before whining starts, or whine back to your kids.
Oh, I've done that. I've 100%
done
that.
Does it work?
Yeah. It kind of, and I, you know what else I used to do was stand in front of a mirror with him if he was whining. So then he was looking at himself whining, and that worked. That would stop it immediately, and he would start to laugh.
My grandfather did that to me just as a quick aside when I would cry. When I was a little kid, and he'd be, all right, you want to cry? Come here, pussy. And he'd put me in front of the mirror, and it would make me stop crying immediately because it's so embarrassing.
I would, if our kids would start throwing a tantrum or something like that, I'd break out the phone and start filming them.
And then show them?
And say, I'm going to get this on record. Yeah. I want you to see what this looks like. And after a while, that was almost like gasoline on the fire.
Yeah.
Turn it off!
Yes, say no.
I see a young Nick McElwain crying in front of the mirror. I don't want to get our Christmas tree from a public park. but it does. It is an effective. Yeah, you know what? I've heard that same thing, and maybe you guys can second this. Is that people sometimes if people are shown what they're like when they're drunk, if you do a video and they see that, that can have
that's embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
You never want to see that.
It did. I saw that one time. It didn't get me to stop drinking.
No,
it was certainly embarrassing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The desire for alcohol overweighs the other.
Yeah, I decided to not have my neighbor hose ice cream off of me anymore.
Oh my God.
That was not your fault.
What were you wearing? A G string?
No, it was a jock strap. Come on. G string.
G string.
The hell do you think I am? I'm an athlete, bro.
I'm in training. Can you hose the ice cream off my ass? So anyhow, the whining is targeted. It is definitely to people who can respond to it. And
do you know adults who whine?
They know what they're doing.
I don't know any adults who whine.
No, not that I can think of.
Sometimes you'll hear it. Yeah.
All right. Other stats and information from the Institute. I have other things. Let's go.
The Chassain Institute, established in 1928, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it was 28, yeah. Let's see. How about this one? Iowa State University researchers polled moms and found that they are often quick to judge both themselves and other mothers. And the way they felt about other moms varied depending on how the respondent category herself and categorized herself and the stereotype she applied to the other mothers. Now, I'll explain. So a working mother may feel envy or contempt toward an ideal stay-at-home mom.
At the same time.
But that mom may see herself differently.
I think that they can feel envy and contempt. It's such a complicated issue for working moms, for stay-at-home moms. This notion of, I want to get out and be in the workforce, but they're wrong for being in the workforce because they're not being a good mother. Like, the dynamic is fascinating and often self-defeating.
Yep, I know what you're saying. Study leader Kelly Odenweller offers advice saying mothers should think of other mothers as an ally, not someone to compare themselves to.
That's probably a healthy way to approach it, right?
Yeah.
You're all in it together.
Try to avoid coming across like the best mom. Talk about things you have in common, things you both enjoy as mothers, and do not feel like it's necessary to be better than her. But I know what you're talking about, Nick. So there are women that do work, like Kathy is a working mom, who might look differently at the woman who stays home and is a house, you know, quote unquote housewife and all that stuff, and vice versa. It's the other way around, you know?
So for me, I don't look at people who stay home with their kids and feel as though they shouldn't. I don't think I've ever done that. There have been times where I was like, I wish that I could do that. I wish I could stay home, but in the same thought process, I'm like,
glad I don't.
No, I don't think that I could be I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could sit home all day.
It requires, and it's not even just the amount of things that are required when you see especially a mother juggling multiple kids. Listen, it's all whatever is your job or whatever you're doing in life. Yeah, God bless you. I've seen women juggling multiple kids all throughout the day. I don't think I would have the mental fortitude to be able to do that.
No, for me, like going to work and having that interaction, different type of interaction for me is what works. And I don't know that I would be able to do that. Although there is some envy where I look and I'm like, you know what? It would have been nice if I could have stayed home.
Yeah. We were in an interesting situation where before we had children, my wife was a breadwinner and she's super smart and she was really successful. But
it's time to start making money instead of bread.
Well, what ended up happening was her company was sold right before we had the baby. And so she got a severance and she got paid maternity. So we were kind of given this cushion prior to having the baby. And then we were at that point, we had to make a decision on whether or not she was going to stay home with the kids and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, ultimately she decided to stay home with the children. But I will say that I felt like, you know, we had to, like, explain that to people.
I think dudes catch a lot of crap, or at least there's you want to talk about something that is sort of hard for people to wrap their minds around or they dance around is a guy who's staying at home.
Yeah.
in this. It's just the way. It's a choice. A lot of and sometimes you look at, I mean, clearly Kevin Federline, I hate to use this most obvious example, is a good father and a good stay-at-home dad.
It has progressed over the years because it used to be, really?
What?
What? What's wrong with you?
And it's not
and now,
as much.
Now it's more like, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow, cool, man.
And
good
ultimately,
for you.
That decision came down to like, all right, listen, if we can make this work financially, then let's do it. Yeah. Because you'll never get that time back, right?
True.
So,
but,
and, yeah.
But the other dynamic that your wife has to deal with, Casey, and has had to deal with, is then the desire to re-enter the workforce. Because you've been out of it for a number of years.
Yeah.
Your career has been on hold or possibly even ruined because you've left the workforce and you've left the job and the career trajectory that you
sure.
were on. So then coming back in, you're not starting from scratch necessarily, but you're
right.
starting
it's
in a position of disadvantage.
It's tough because more than likely another mime has taken your corner.
but like what we were able to do, and by we I mean her, was that she was able to kind of like, you know, restart everything.
Yeah,
and she didn't go from 0 to 60. She was able, I don't want to say ease into it, but like now she's got this
30 to 60
is what we did. Yeah. And you know, now she's in a really, really good position, you know, back on the workforce, but she was actually able to stay home for, oh my God, 10 years.
Any
10
of it.
Years,
10
man.
Years, man.
Yeah, I have a friend who's trying
10 years, man.
Trying to go back to work now. And she said to me, she goes, what am I going to do? Everything that I learned in college and when I did work is so outdated
man.
That I couldn't step in and be able to start over again. So now she's like trying to, you know, just trying to figure out what she can do.
Do you know what she did before?
She was a blacksmith.
Something in finance case.
Okay.
Okay. Well, anyhow, yes, non-working mothers and working mothers can be a tad bit judgy. And they're suggesting that that's not a healthy mindset.
Don't judge, man. Yeah.
Make out with each other.
Yeah.
Hey, there are websites.
That's what they have in common.
All right, let's see what else we have here from the Just Sayin' Institute.
By the way, the Just Sayin' Institute, we have a picture of it up on our screen. It's just an amazing building.
I didn't know Gary Lauer was the dean.
Yeah.
Gary Lauer Dean is what it says here. It says located on 250 scenic acres in beautiful Weston, West Virginia. Weston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Established 1928, Gary Lauer Dean.
Who does that for it? He's great. He does a lot of these things.
I'm not
he's
sure.
A listener, does...
But that's not our Gary Lauer. Our Gary Lauer spells his last name Lower. It looks like it's spelled
okay.
lower.
Yeah. Right.
So this is a different, totally different Gary Lauer.
All right. Well, yeah. I'm glad we do have a Gary Lauer on board, though. If you want to eat less and you want to eat alone, then you'll want to eat alone. I'm sorry.
I want to eat less and I want to be by myself when I do it.
Just leave me alone and don't give me any
Let
food.
Me eat nothing here by myself. God, you're antisocial. If you'll excuse me, now I have to go into this other room and not eat anything.
I need to be alone when I'm not eating
something. I need
to
close something. The door here because I'm going to be in here not eating anything.
All right, I have to hurry up here. Casey's right. giving me the signal. Right. University of Birmingham researchers found that people eat up to 50% more when they dine with family and friends compared to when they eat meals alone.
Mm.
And we likely eat in a group due to the ancient hunter-gatherer food-sharing mentality in which groups of people who gather and eat as much as possible and distribute food while it was plentiful. So that's why we go to that
The food
sensation.
Is plentiful.
Yes. This would in turn protect them when there wasn't enough food to go around. Now, another theory is that people eat different amount of food when with company because they're trying to project different images of themselves to different people.
Look at me. I'm a food eater.
In addition, social eating is more enjoyable than eating alone, which suggests the brain may reward people who eat with others and in turn encourage them to eat more.
I think I tend to eat less when I'm with
too.
Other people.
Oh, not me.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's order something for the table.
True.
You know, let's come on in.
Yeah.
We want some apps.
Yeah.
Okay, in that case, perhaps. Yeah, but I mean, like, or maybe like on dates and things like that, when I used to go on dates, or it's probably a different dynamic. But like for Thanksgiving, I don't know. I eat about the same.
Dine with family and friends is what it says, that you will eat 50% more. I mean, you know, if because chances are you might be going out, too, and, you know, if you got a whole plate, maybe you want to finish it, you know.
I just ate a whole turkey.
Mm. Wrapping this around to the friend story that you had, I have a friend that the only thing we do, and we do it one-on-one, so she's a good friend of mine, is we go to a restaurant. We go to eat. It's okay. The only thing we do. We don't go out after. We don't go, you know, for drinks. We go out to dinner.
So that has become your habit. You are now associate food with that friend of yours.
And we get the exact same dessert every time we go.
What do you get?
A cookie sundae from Redstone.
Okay. Okay.
They spent money like one time.
So do you guys just sit and talk?
Yep, like, chat, catch up.
What do you do when you're actually done eating? Dessert's over. Do you actually sit at the table and continue to talk more?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Usually we go on a weeknight, so we both have to get home. We both get up very early for work. We both have to get home. So, it just kind of ends.
You order a cappuccino or something
and
like that?
No. We do the dessert, and then we're out the door.
One of those delightful mints.
We went out to dinner as a family down the shore. It was like the final weekend, and there was a whole bunch of us. And they were like, oh, your table's going to be ready. They just paid their bill. And we're like, oh, great. We ended up waiting like another half hour, even longer, because these two little bitties sat at the table
and chatted
and just talked. And I'm like, dude, bitches, dude, it is so, that was it is so crowded.
Excuse me, do you think you two bitches could wrap this up?
It was very quiet. Bitches.
Excuse me, when will those pictures be done?
If it's a crowded restaurant, I won't sit there with, if you're not ordering something else. No, I will get
up. Mr. Foster, your table's almost ready. The two bitches there.
bitches.
I was so angry with them. I was so mad because I knew exactly where they were sitting, and I'm like, and I would just go and like peek through the window. I'm like,
if there's a crowded restaurant and people waiting to get, I try to be observant. I am not a big fan.
Labor Day weekend down the shore.
They can make more money.
Yes.
I hate lingering anyway after the meal is done. It just drives me crazy to just sit there.
Yeah.
But go some other place, you know, bitches.
Bitches.
All right. Well, anyhow, the Just Saying Institute has realized that you'll eat 50% more if you're with friends or family. So maybe observe that next time and make a note of it. And those are all the reports that I have for you this
morning.
From
the Just Saying Institute, located in West Virginia, 200 sprawling acres.
Hmm.
Preston visited it over the weekend.
I did, although I went to Virginia by accident.
But I know, but you could see it from there.
West Virginia, yeah.
From Mount Just Saying.
Thank you to the JSI and all the information. That's why I'm going to start calling it the JSI.
JSI.
By the way, I want to give away another gift card for our friends at Stanley's Tavern, which they will throw bitches out of the place if they sit around too long.
So everyone can get their shot.
Yeah.
Great food.
I'm just kidding. So we'll take caller number 20, and I'll give you a $25 gift card for Stanley's, which, by the way, they're hosting the 2019 Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle tomorrow night. Brent Porsche, one of our favorite people.
And it's a great time. It's always a great time.
From 7 to 9, and you could win a pair of Eagles Bears tickets courtesy of Bud Light Platinum. So caller 20, 215-263-WMMR. Going to take care of you. Come back in a moment. Danica Patrick will be on the show. We're also going to find out the details about the Philadelphia Film Festival and more.
Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, gang, it's about 3 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Wednesday morning with the Preston and Steve Show. Listen, we got a bunch to get to, including a guest who is on hold waiting for us, so we're going to skip traffic for now. We will come back around and get to that in just a moment. Very successful and very hardworking woman who is continuing to expand into different areas. Of course, you know, from the world of auto racing and
vineyards,
all kinds of stuff. Yeah, exactly. And now podcasts.
Yes. Kind of in our realm.
Yeah. She's caught a podcast. It's a weekly podcast called Pretty Intense. It's available on DanicaPatrick.com. We're going to find out all about it with the person herself. Please welcome Danica Patrick to the show this morning. Hello, Danica.
Good morning.
Welcome, and welcome to the... Listen, broadcasting is no stranger to you. You've been in and around sports for a long time. You've been interviewed by many people. I've seen you interview other people. What made you want to dive into the world of podcasting and interviewing celebrities and interesting people regularly?
Well, actually, the name of the podcast is Pretty Intense, and it was through promoting Pretty Intense, the book that came out at the beginning of 2018, that I thought to myself, I really enjoy this in-depth format. I have found them really fun. People might not know it about me, but I'm a fairly deep, I really enjoy meaningful conversations as opposed to, surface conversations. So podcasts are the perfect format for that. And then fundamentally, I really just wanted to do something that would continue to have the opportunity to inspire people. I guess whether or not the podcast inspires you is completely your decision, but it's an opportunity. And that's how I felt about racing, was that it was an opportunity to inspire. So I didn't take that for granted ever. And I never was an athlete that said, I never asked to be a role model. I always took that role seriously. And I very much grew to, respect it even more and enjoy it even more as the years went by. So this was that opportunity to expand and do more of it.
So I think the number that they say approximately 750,000 different podcasts out there. Oh, wow. So yeah, it's a lot. But I mean, what we've learned is that the people who do it for the pure love of it and are really incited by, the love of the information they're getting out, tend to do better. So I assume, obviously, you have a large racing base that will follow this. But it's not just that. I'm looking at the list of guests that you've talked to. You have Alex Rodriguez, Neil deGrasse Tyson, who we just had on, fantastic. Howie Mandel and Bobby Flay. So in that list, you're hitting everybody, your entertainment and athletes as well. Who to you makes the perfect guest?
Someone that's vulnerable. The more vulnerable a guest is willing to be about, their journey and the experiences that they've had and their opinion on things, the more interesting they are. The more guarded you are, the least interesting it is. I also really enjoy interviewing people from an informational perspective. So an expert or a doctor in a field, that to me is part of the growth process, is just learning more. So, there's definitely the core of it is the human story and the human experience and how you can grow through the things that are difficult in your life and how do you come through on the other side? What was it like and what can you give to us as listeners as, tools to navigate these kinds of things as we go through life.
Right.
And, but the information is also a growth element. So I really love, I've interviewed a few doctors, scientists, and they just, I love learning. I feel like the youth is wasted on the young with the with going to school when you're 10. I'm 37, and now I'm reading books more than I ever have and diving into information and listening to other podcasts about things that help me learn. So I really love that, too.
So I think there's a couple of obstacles that are tough on the interviewer's standpoint. And one of them is, we're interviewing you and we know a lot about you because you have been in the public eye for so long. And then you end up doing a little bit of research. So we know a ton about you. You don't know a ton about us. And so it's kind of tough finding that fine line between, asking an informative question and asking you stuff that's none of our business. Right. So, I'm a huge sports fan and I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. So I want to ask you about your relationship with Aaron Rodgers. But am I crossing a line?
I don't know. Do you feel like you are?
Well, I don't, because it's kind of none of my business. But I wanted to ask you and I'm sure you've been on.
Interested.
I'm sorry.
I mean, we're interested. We're interested in the that stuff. I mean, that's just human nature, is to be curious about that. And you have someone that you're a fan of, and I know him pretty well.
Yeah, but what I think is neat about that is you guys are both at the top, top of your
elite
field,
elite
athletes. Yeah. And to me, that relationship makes sense. And so you as an interviewer, do you ever, come to a point where you're like, man,
do I really want to ask this question? Do I really want to go down here?
Have you been in that situation where you had someone and you were kind of on the fence about what to ask or to go to that level? Are you comfortable enough as an interviewer to go there now?
Well, I feel like my angle doesn't dive into, like for my first guest, Alex Rodriguez, and J-Lo never came up. Like, she did just, that wasn't part of, you know, my line of questioning and my motivation for the episode with him and what I wanted to know. I have the utmost respect for these sort of private topics based on my experience and having been that person. So I care a lot more about, I'm willing to really probe for the information about you personally as a, you know, as a human being. What was that like for him, you know, what was that like when you were in the, like, the depths of the sadness and the embarrassment, and, you know, what was that like, and how did that feel, and what did, you know, what did you go through, and so I'm more interested in that anyway, and then it holds me back from feeling like, to make the interview interesting, I have to go there. I have
right.
to ask questions about someone that, you know, I know you don't really want to talk about, and it's private. No, I'm more interested in how you can help us as listeners grow from through your adversity, right? Because that experience of, like, here's what it was like, and then you can, as a listener, you go, oh my God, I was there too, and then you also create a connection with that guest of, we're the same. We go through the same stuff. I know that you're rich and famous, or I know that you're well accomplished on a very public level, but, you know, I went through that too. I felt the same. And so you create a connection then between yourself and the guest, because we all struggle and we all get sad and we all have difficulties in our lives, and none of us are exempt from those things. And so, so you create that connection. So yeah, I don't go there, and I don't, if someone wants to bring it up, then, like for instance, Howie Mandel brought up,
his OCD.
Simon Cowell.
It was okay.
Simon Cowell. And, you know, it's like he's one of those people that you want to know about and kind of curious, like, what's he really like? And so he had mentioned there being being really honest. And so I said, well, just ask Simon about how to do that. And then he went into explaining what he's really like. I didn't have to really ask him what is he like. He volunteered that. So you want to create an environment where people feel really safe and comfortable, and where they're the ones that are opening the door, and then you can go there if you want.
Speaking of interesting people, I was scrolling through your Instagram, and there's a photo of you. I guess you did the Rich Eisen show, and it's you and Alex Honnold who did Free Solo and climbed El Cap without any assistance. It's a great documentary. It's an incredible movie. I find Alex to be just a fascinating person. Is he going to be on your podcast? Did you get a chance to chat with him at all?
I walked into the room, and so into the green room, and he was sitting there and on a chair, and he was doing some interviews for some of the supportive stuff, for viral stuff for them. And I walked in, and I looked over, and I was like, and I went, oh, wait, I know you. And it was one of those moments where, you know, I normally would just walk in and be quiet and sit down and afterwards be like, oh, I knew who that was. But it was like it caught me off guard. So I said, oh, hey, I know you. Oh, my God, I watched the Free Solo. That was so great. And so he was kind of confused for a second, and then after the show was after he was done, then he was engaging more and more and more. And then there was a funny part about Aaron and something about football, and then he didn't really know. And then he's like, oh, and then it like kind of goes deeper. And then I said, I'd really love to have him on the show, and he said, okay. So
we had Marc Maron in here just recently, and obviously his podcast is huge and has been huge for quite a while. But we talked about the early, you know, days of podcasting when he was getting up and running. There's sort of this podcast incest that takes place where now you do their show and they do your show and you get into that sort of circle. Are you now being hit up for everyone's podcast because you are now a podcaster yourself?
Yeah, there's that back and forth. Anybody that you want to have on the show that has a podcast, it really does go like that. And there's a lot. I mean, there's obviously, like you said, 750,000 people with the podcast. So.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have a show, so that's the back and forth you do. Is you're like, okay, you do my show, I'll do your show, and It's totally fine because, again, I said I'd love to do them, so I have no problem with that. In the process, you also get to know each other a little bit better, and so I think that the shows can be even deeper because you've just now spent a couple of hours talking to each other about your life.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, you're taking on another project, and you've done great with everything so far. So we wish you luck with this and want to remind people that you can find the Pretty Intense podcast at DanicaPatrick.com. Thanks for coming on, Danica.
And I have so much more respect for the interviewer.
Yeah. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, Danica, take care. Yeah. That's a nice question, Casey. That was a good way to put it. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, because, I mean, and listen, as interviewers, definitely, we're like, do we go there? Is it worth it? And you know what I mean? And
we've had things like, so we had John Travolta in with the Scientology thing. So listen, there's besides the Scientology stuff, there was so much pop culture wise.
Exactly.
So do we cash out all of that stuff about years of pop culture on that deal? And it just didn't seem like, you know.
Well, it's also, what kind of interview is this? You know what I mean? Like, did you come in here for an interrogation or did you come in here for exactly what we did, which was like a fun chat down memory lane?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot more you can get to if you do that. Now, listen, I don't think he would have been bad with it, but it's been asked countless times.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, there are many more questions about Greece to ask them.
Yes. Right. And then sometimes, and I don't know if this is a blessing or a curse, sometimes you get a note from the handler before the interview saying, this is off.
And we've ignored that from time
to time.
Off
limits. Yeah. You're not allowed to ask about this. And it's like, okay, well, then I guess that kind of makes it easier.
Well, a lot of times we'll just refuse the interview, too.
That happens a lot.
We're like, really? Well, we're going to talk about it.
Then
don't come here.
Don't come by.
Yeah.
The kid from Stranger Things. They didn't want us to talk about Stranger Things.
Are you out of your goddamn mind?
Seriously?
You only want to talk about the band.
Okay.
But we don't care about the band.
No one cares about the band.
No one would care about the band if dude wasn't on Stranger Things. And I'm sure he's a nice kid.
Absolutely.
Who was it?
Gaten.
He's a very talented kid.
Yeah. And we wanted to have him on, but they were like, no, don't ask about Stranger Things. Only ask about the band. There's going to be 9 other people in the studio as well on the microphone.
No.
That's okay. Never mind. All right, well,
anyhow. Go away.
Danica was nice. I had a bit of an obsession with her for a little while.
You know, so looking here at the thing, she was in 14 separate Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah.
There was a time when you gave a rat's ass about the Super Bowl commercials, and they have just sort of fallen off at least a level of importance. We'll be dealing with that in a couple months.
Yeah. We have some time here.
A little bit of time.
We didn't do traffic.
Okay.
So, Kathy, what's going on traffic-wise?
The Vine westbound, we're jammed from 95 to Broad Street. Schuylkill Expressway eastbound, that's backing up still from the Blue Route into Belmont Heavy, the Boulevard to the Vine westbound jams. Passing to 30th Street, the Boulevard to Belmont, and then Gladwin out to Conshohocken. 95 southbound, heavy from Cotman through to Girard. We have delays on 422 eastbound from Oaks to Trooper. Route 1 out in West Windsor Township, northbound at Alexander Road. An accident just cleared from there. 42 freeway northbound, slowing 41 to 295. 55 northbound, that still jams Deptford to 42. And then on the Ben Franklin Bridge westbound, you're jammed the downside to 8th and Vine. This traffic report brought to you by Dodge. With Dodge Power Dollars, for every horsepower of your new Dodge vehicle purchase, you'll get $10 off. Peeling out in a Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye, you just got $7,970 off. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Thanks, Kath. So I saw a Reddit thread, and this is pretty interesting. I want to see if anyone can recall this. I personally can't recall anything. This is something from your childhood.
Okay.
And I don't know if anybody in this room will, but if you want to call in with something, it's some pretty funny responses to this. So on a Reddit thread, it said, what is something that you thought would happen a lot as an adult, but it never or barely happens?
Sex.
Really? No. I'll give you an example or two, and we'll see if anybody has them. So one of them is encountering quicksand.
All right, so that's a John Mulaney bit right there.
It is?
Yes.
So somebody stole his bit and put it in.
Somebody stole his bit and put it in there.
Let me give you
damn Reddit.
It's a hilarious
bit.
It's
the one he did at Rockefeller Center?
Yes.
Yeah. Radio City Music Hall.
Here's a different one. When I was a kid, I thought that when I grew up, women would always be trying to make me go to the opera. Now, that may be from, like, they saw a TV show.
Yeah, it's like depicted in movies. Right. Yeah, the women always want to go to the opera.
Right,
yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. 215-263-WMMR's number. Did you have one, Kathy?
So it's along the lines of it. It's not exactly, but I remember we said it out loud, my roommate in college and I, and we were like, we cannot wait to graduate. We're going to have so much more time to go to the gym.
Oh.
And like we thought that graduating college, not having all of that work, was going to leave all this time for us to work out. We'd go to the gym every day. And as you grow older and you're an adult, you have more responsibilities. You have less time to do anything.
I always sort of knew that there was going to be a lot more demand on you as an adult, mm-hmm. you know. But they, the one thing that they tell you, and if you're in, they tell you this throughout school, like when you're in elementary school and junior high school, they're not going to take this. They're going to take it. Yeah.
Right.
And in high school, they're not going to take it. Oh, yeah, they're going to take it, too. In college, it's no different.
Yeah.
It's all the same. And then you get out, and then real life starts, and that's when they don't take it.
Right. So a couple of the of other examples were this person thought that they would be having ice cream for dinner.
Yeah.
As a child, they thought that as an adult,
you can have ice cream as
you'll
for
be
dinner.
Able to have ice cream for dinner.
You don't have the restraints.
Night.
Yes.
And maybe somebody told them that, too. Listen, when you get older, you can have ice cream every night for dinner if you want.
If you get in the car, I'll give you ice cream for dinner.
No. This person said being asked for advice all the time and feeling like I'm, quote, wise. So they thought that would happen.
Like kids would ask them,
you know,
questions.
Mm-hmm. I've never been given wise words. I've been sitting on this show for a long time, and Nick, you have espoused like some of these things that your grandfather sat down and told you. I don't have any, son.
Really?
Sit down here for a
second.
Your
parents are great parents.
They're great parents, but there's nothing that sticks in my mind where it was like,
well.
Even your father one time, Preston, said
to
you.
Yeah, the one thing I remember, you know, whatever you decide to do in your life, make sure that it's something you enjoy.
Yeah, that's the advice.
Job.
Yep, that's my dad's advice, too, similar.
But you know what? You give great advice.
Aww. Stop
you
pulling on
you give
that.
Great advice. You may have not received much great advice, but I hear you come in and on times when we're talking about family mm-hmm. and kids things, and you sit down and say some things or repeat back to me some of the things you've told your kids, and I'm like, damn, why didn't I ever think of that to
really?
Say? Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Hey, can we
just
play
yesterday?
This, can we play this back at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I'll have my kids listen so that they can understand that like I'm not just talking at my ass.
That you're actually giving them Bible.
I think it would help if you didn't move your ass cheeks while you gave this advice.
Okay. All right. Point taken.
When you bend over and grab your butt cheeks, open them like you're speaking.
Neither a Bauer nor a Lenderby.
What did I say yesterday?
I forgot what precisely it was, but it was you were telling me about Seamus and
don't run into walls.
Something he was concerned about, and I've forgotten right now. But it was sage advice. It was great life advice.
Okay,
do you remember?
I don't remember, okay. Dude. All I remember is sexy fries.
Oh yeah, that's we had sexy fries yesterday for lunch.
Casey, my dad's listening right now. You want me to have him call in or anything?
Yeah, I want him to give me the only thing I can remember my dad telling me was I was in a relationship as a freshman in college, and my dad said, "I'm not ready to."
Is
be
Is he good to you?
I'm not ready to be a grandfather yet.
Oh, okay.
I was like,
that's interesting.
I think both of your parents give you and gave you advice, but you just don't realize it.
Maybe.
And he's actually repeating it now to his
kids. And maybe it wasn't a sit down like I have something to tell you. But in life, you've learned from your parents.
Sometimes advice is given by example.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I wish I had that thing where it goes, yeah, my father always said.
You always said, son, sat down on the porch.
Yeah.
Let me go to some calls. So some things that you thought would happen a lot as an adult, but never or barely ever happened. So let me go to Simon. Simon, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, man?
So it used to drill in our heads in school all the time, the whole stop, drop, and roll thing. So I just assumed that as an adult, I would catch on fire.
There you go.
Yes.
You'd always be setting on fire.
And at some point, that several times in your life, you would have to stop, drop, and roll.
Exactly.
Yep, that's a good one.
They do put a lot of fear in kids, don't they?
Well, stop, drop, and roll, he's so right, though. I mean, everyone remembers that.
The movie, I think it's the documentary, I think it's called The Atomic Cafe. It's all that footage of the films that they show kids in school in case an atomic bomb blows up in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Get under your desk.
Duck and cover.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. Duck and cover. Let me go to Samantha. Hey, Samantha, good morning.
Hey, guys, Gadzook.
Gadzook, so what's something you thought would happen a lot once you would become an adult or less, either one?
So when I was in high school, I used to deal with a ton of drama. My mom always told me when I got older, there wouldn't be much drama in my life. Oh, no. I think I experienced more drama in my life now that I am older in a job or around friends than I've ever experienced drama
okay.
before.
So as this kid going through, you're like, man, if I just get into adulthood, smooth sailing as far as the drama goes.
Oh, yeah. But
I can see that. Yeah, yeah, and also right. like, there are certain things, man. That, you think as an adult, okay, it's going to be a lot easier now because
yeah.
I don't have school. Well, now you have a job.
Here's another one from the Reddit thread that they thought that would happen a lot as an adult when they were a kid, which would be formal entertaining, dinner parties, hosting fancy holiday dinners. Like that would be happening
all
every
the time.
Night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Exactly.
It's probably what they saw as a kid though that right. informed that decision.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did you guys ever have dinner parties? Like,
yeah, my parents would have, but not like, you know, not like Downton Abbey dinner parties, but.
We never had, the only parties we ever had were party parties. We never had like.
Swinger parties.
we had key parties, except we never used any keys in my house. We never locked our
Who's
doors.
That man mommy's talking to?
So wait a minute, but you had party parties, but not dinner parties, meaning sit down.
Cocktail parties?
Yeah, no, they were always like, it was like a, you know, like a graduation party or a birthday party or, you know, it was.
Never just, host holidays?
What about the adults, your parents' friends coming over
no.
and having.
Oh, see, yeah, we had plenty of
we
that.
We used to have those, yes.
Yeah, there was like Friday night party, you know, whatever.
Yeehaw.
That's when we go, as kids going, maybe I should try smoking now. You know? Grab one of those butts. Let's light that up. I mean, because there was the 70s. You know, uh-huh. My parents, they were drinking and
Earl,
smoking all over the place.
I got the new Red Fox record.
Yeah. hang on a second. Let's go to, okay, this one. And this is on this Reddit thread. I'm going to go to Valerie. Hey, Valerie, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You're awesome.
Thank you. So something that you thought would happen a lot as an adult, but never really happens.
I always thought I would have to save strangers from choking, like in restaurants.
It says here, it says having to do CPR
yeah, yeah,
or the Heimlich
yeah,
maneuver.
Yeah.
I learned them in middle exactly. school and was convinced that people choked and had heart attacks all over the place all the time.
All the time. And you see it on TV. There's always somebody choking. Somebody runs up behind them and does the Heimlich and they spit out like a chicken leg. You know?
Yeah.
So I thought I would just have to randomly save people. I had to make sure I knew my CPR.
There you go.
They do. That's a residual effect of what's drummed into your head in school. Now, it's good to know it, but perhaps I should tell kids this is a few and, you know, far
yeah,
between.
Yeah. I concur with that. I thought rather than, you know, saving choking people, I thought that I would be like bandaging people and stuff. So I had first aid kits and things like that. Always at the ready.
Oh, I'll tell you one thing now. It does actually raise the a memory for me. I thought I'd be square dancing a lot more. Because we were taught square dancing.
You need to know this.
We need to know it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I never have been, nor would I want to attend a square dance.
But Steve, I've seen you promenade before.
I
and you
do promenade.
It with the best of them.
I like Tony Manero.
Mm-hmm.
Being the manager of a pool and a lifeguard at a pool, I did always have a first aid kit in my car, but I also had the face mask in case you needed to do CPR so you didn't have to actually do mouth-to-mouth.
Yeah.
I had the face mask mm-hmm. in there because I thought if I have to do it, I want to save someone, but I don't want to touch their wrist.
Sorry, I'm going to have to let him die.
He's going to have to go.
His mouth, he has sores.
I remember that. You're thinking that same thing too, Kathy. I'm like, there's no way I'm putting my lips on some dude's slobbering mouth. And of course, you know, now it wouldn't matter, but.
Piston, I'm dying! Gary, and you're going to continue.
How about this one? I like this. I'm going to go to Abigail. Hey, Abigail, good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank Woo! You, Abigail. What's up?
I always thought that you were going to be asked to recite the alphabet backwards to prove that you weren't drunk at a traffic stop.
Yeah.
So I practiced it a lot growing up, and it has come into my life zero times.
Abigail, hit it.
ZYXWVUTSRQPONMLKJIHGFEDCBA.
Yeah!
Wow.
give her some beer.
Do we have a case of beer?
We don't have beer?
Bummer.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
We have to have something.
Nice job, Abigail.
We did. I had all these beer winner sheets, and then they got thrown away. I have no idea what happened.
Somebody cleaned up our studio.
I didn't throw it away.
So let me ask you, is that a standard thing? I thought you have to recite the alphabet backwards. I always thought it was just recite the alphabet.
No, I mean, I've heard that used before. And then most people would go, really, man? Seriously? Come on.
Yeah. I can't do it sober.
Yeah.
And then they're like, aha!
Right. I'm going to go to Jennifer next. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Jennifer?
I've been waiting forever to do that.
So, listen, as a kid, what did you think would be happening as an adult but never really happens?
I always thought I was going to win concert tickets and trips, all those ones that you had to be 18 or older, 21 or older.
Yeah, because they always say that, 18 or older. Yeah.
Yes. So, and panned out one time, but, you know.
Yeah.
Well, hang in there.
Better than nothing. I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
All right.
I know what you mean, Jennifer. I had the same thing. I thought, you know, just when I get to that age, I'll finally be able to grab that and I'll be a winner.
Yeah.
All the time. It's going to happen again. I know it. I just know it.
Thanks, Jennifer. And by the way, one of the questions I'm asked most often or have been asked most often in this business is, how do I win that con? How do I call in and win? What's the secret to getting through?
Yeah.
And there's none.
There's not.
There's zero. And I don't know how sometimes there are some people who win more than others. And who the hell knows? Because they're always like, how soon after you solicit do you guys actually start answering the phone calls? I'm like, whenever we feel like it. It varies. It's not like, wait 5 seconds after I say it, start answering the phone. It's just random.
And we've also learned that there are certain areas, for whatever reason, that getting quicker. And it's just bizarre, but that's the case.
I will go to Lauren next. Hey, Lauren, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thank you, Lauren. So what's something you thought would happen a lot as an adult but never or barely happens?
Well, I'm a teacher now, and all throughout school, I was always told that I was going to use algebra.
Tough, yeah. They didn't teach you how to not curse either, did they?
You potty mouth. But, yeah, no, it's the truth. Honestly, you have teachers telling you this stuff, and some people will. If you become an engineer, you're going to use it a lot more. But all the stuff that I thought I absolutely had to know and retain, I don't use any.
There are a lot of people are chiming in on text saying the same thing: math, calculus, algebra.
Math. I mean, like arithmetic, but
a
basic
understanding of math will certainly serve you. You're right, and a good working knowledge of English would help.
But I wonder how much of the complex math that I've learned over the years I actually do use.
Oh, man. Oh, use?
Yeah.
I thought you would say remember. It's a good question. I mean, to be honest, simple division is about as complicated as I get with any math in my regular day-to-day life, and that's very rare, too.
Yeah.
But other than multiplication, addition, and subtraction...
Can you recite the numbers backwards?
No.
From infinity back.
Only when I'm drunk.
Infinity minus one. Infinity minus two.
I'm getting to a point now where I can't help my kids with their math homework anymore.
Oh.
It sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to be pretty good at math, but I have forgotten so much.
Yeah. There was a couple of things that Jace brought home, more like grammatical stuff. And I'm like, all right, wait, what is the long A?
Oddly enough, I thought that, you remember the movie Castaway, Tom Hanks?
Yes.
And he's in the cave and he's trying to determine where the search area is. Yes. And he's sitting there going, Vince times pi minus this, blah, blah, blah. And search area of over 10,000 square miles. I'm like, how did he remember that math?
Well, then he's like, it's three times the size of Texas. Oh. I'm like,
it was in the script.
He knows
how big Texas is.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, how do you know the square mileage of Texas?
And that's when I said, you know what? If I'm ever stranded on an island.
Yeah.
I might need to know geometry.
Right. Yeah.
Might save my life someday.
Don't work for FedEx.
Yeah, that too might save my life.
Go to the dentist.
Let me see here. Here you go. We got to take a break in a second here, but I'm going to go to Bill. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, Bill. What's up, man? So what did you think? What would happen a lot as an adult?
I thought when I was younger, I always left everything on in my room, every light, every radio, everything on in the room. And I was like, you know what? My parents kept telling me, turn everything off. Turn it off when you leave. Well, I said when I grow up, I'm going to turn everything on and leave it on. Guess what? Now I'm the guy telling all my kids.
There you go.
You pay the bills now.
Yeah, I didn't realize. Exactly. I didn't Thanks, realize Bill. How much my mom and dad did for me growing up because it just got done. You know, so I didn't realize that, like, scum just kind of, like, grows in the toilet, right. And you actually have to scrub that. I just always thought that the toilet was clean. And then I'm like, oh, mommy.
That must be the scum fairy.
I was thinking about that very thing on Saturday because I was, or no, I'm sorry, on Monday, which felt like a Saturday. I was very productive, and I got a lot of stuff done around the house, and I felt good about myself, and I was happy. I'm like, this is a good day. And I'm like, and I stopped for a moment. Well, why is this a good day? You've been busting your ass all day doing stuff.
You were productive.
Good. Exactly. But it made me realize that same thing, Casey, that when you have a residence and all these areas, and the bigger the residence, the more work you have to do.
And it's your stuff.
And it's your stuff. You need to get it done or it doesn't get done. And as a kid, I never thought about that, which is why as a kid, doing chores would have been like absolute torture to me, but as an adult, it actually feels good to do that.
I mowed my lawn on Saturday, and my lines were perfect laterally.
Oh, isn't that so great?
And it looked so good, and as I was mowing the lawn, people were driving by and giving me the thumbs up on my Halloween display.
Mm-hmm. You're like, oh my God, dude, they noticed?
I'm awesome. I am awesome.
I put a picture of my lines on my lawn up on Instagram in the earlier part of the summer, late spring. It looks so good.
That was a perfect swastika.
I loved it. And then people started commenting on it like, it looks like your deck is bent on your llama. And they were like just kind of nitpicking.
See, I was
that's
like, it. You'd never do that.
You bastard.
You just make it yourself, you know that you did a great thing.
Like your lines are curved. I'm like, it's because the street's curved. The lines are going with the street. The lines are perfect. You're ruining my day. I worked so hard on those lines.
That ego is rock solid there.
You know what to do if you want to get the Casey.
Talk about my lines on my lawn.
That's all you got to do. But no, keep that in mind, kids listening. As you grow up, you won't be encountering quicksand. You won't be going to the opera. You won't be doing CPR and the Heimlich maneuver every 10 minutes, but you will be scrubbing toilets and cutting the lawn.
There you go.
So that's what you can have.
So I like it. We're looking at the picture. The curves are fine, Casey.
I know.
Yeah, it does go with the
thing.
Goes with the curve of the street. By the way, have any of you guys ever been to the opera? Ever?
Yes.
Really?
No, I haven't. As a kid, I've always wanted to go.
Really?
Yeah. You know what? Stinks.
Really?
No, it was okay. It was all right.
I've seen the Nutcracker and... yeah, I've seen a couple of
Tommy,
operas.
Tommy, that's a rock opera.
Does that count?
Yeah. Nutcracker's more of a ballet.
Yeah.
You know what? You're right. Yeah, you are correct. But if you don't like hearing singing in a foreign language, a lot of times they're in foreign languages, it can be a bit, it can go over your head.
Or just yell out, in English!
Yeah.
There's an opera house in Philadelphia. Yeah. I've always wanted to go.
Okay.
Not when it's open, but just...
You should do a night at the opera.
You want to go with me?
Is it not going on a date? Sure.
Right. What time do you show up to tailgate?
Yeah, right. Yeah! All right, well, thank you for the contribution. We do appreciate the phone calls. Should I give this one away?
Yeah, buddy.
This is the last $25 gift card that I have to give away. Where's my info sheet? I need this information. Make sure I pass this along. It is for our friends at Stanley's Tavern. They're in North Wilmington, 2838 Folk Road.
Yeah.
And I'll take call number 15 at 215-263-WMMR. And they have the Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle tomorrow night. And that happens to be taking over a different neighborhood bar every Thursday night this football season. Visit WMMR.com to learn when the Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle is coming to your neighborhood. But we know for sure tomorrow night it is going to be at Stanley's Tavern. They have fantastic food. They brought in wings and ribs and cornbread and all kinds of goodies.
Great stuff. It's really great.
Their ribs have been voted the best for the past 14 years by Delaware Today magazine. So you got to go by there. Call it 215-215-263-WMMR. We're going to give you that. We're going to come back in a second. And our friends from the Philadelphia Film Festival are going to be here to tell us about what we can expect. Because it starts tomorrow. And also Rob Hyman of the Hooters stopping in with Pierre when he comes in to the end of the program. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR proudly supports the inaugural Market Street Run for Blue, presented by Wawa, Sunday, October 27th. The event benefits the Philadelphia Police Foundation with a run through historic Old City to 30th Street Station and back for a post-run festival at Penn's Landing, featuring food and beverages courtesy of Wawa, awards for top finishers in multiple age groups, and fun for the whole family. Click events at WMMR.com for all the details and to get signed up. Sunday, October 27th. It's the Market Street Run for Blue, presented by Wawa. 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
All right, I'm going to do a quick bizarre file, and then we have a couple minutes to chat with our guests. All right,
yeah,
here
okay.
we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And the Bizarre File, all set up and brought to you this morning by our friends at the McGuff Bus Company. McGuff Bus Company is hiring, earn industry top dollar, get guaranteed hours, yearly raises, and monthly bonuses. Love where you work at McGuffBus.com. Well, the bullfighter boyfriend of a Spanish royal is gravely ill after being gored in the thigh and groin.
So he's ill on top of having his nuts ripped off?
No. That's why he's ill.
Oh, okay.
Matador Gonzalo Caballero was injured during a tournament to mark Hispanic Day in Madrid's Las Ventas Bullring. And is in very serious condition. The bull's horn punctured a vital vein. He's the boyfriend of Victoria Federica, niece to the King of Spain, who watched on in horror from the VIP area on a Spanish day of national celebrations. Caballero clutched his crotch as he was taken from the bull ring in an effort to curb the prolific bleeding. He was operated on in the infirmary for more than 2 hours and then transferred to a medical center. The bull had been pierced by a sword in the back of its neck, but fought on and charged Caballero, strike him in the leg and tossing the matador helplessly in the air before hitting him again as he lay prone. The second attack cut his femoral vein.
Ladies and gentlemen, the current score is bull one, matador zero.
The beaten bullfighter was carried from the ring by staff, leaving a trail of crimson in the sand as he failed to stem the blood flow. Wow.
And even though the bull does that, they still off him.
Caballero had only just returned to the ring after spending months recuperating from an earlier goring. So
that's tough, man. Will you ever see footage of that?
Yeah, it's brutal. I only have time for one more story. I'm sorry to keep this so short, but time-wise, we gotta stay on the ball here, okay? A Florida man who called 911 to report his roommate, who allegedly stole his weed, was asked to please stop calling the Pasco County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah, the roommate keeps taking my weed.
He wouldn't stop calling them.
I hate to be a nuisance, but arrest him.
Video was posted onto the Pasco County Sheriff's Office Twitter page on Saturday night of a deputy responding to a call about stolen weed.
I can't find my heroin.
He said that the person called 911 because his roommate stole his weed, specifically $20 worth.
$20. That's a job for the authorities.
The deputy in the video says that he's upset. He's calling 911, and I got to go give him a call and tell him to stop calling, please.
It is legal in Florida. I don't know.
Medically,
at least.
Medical marijuana is, yes. All right, and there you go. Sorry to keep it short. That's your bizarre file. But we got to get to our next guest because we still have another guest. Even after this guest, we're doing off to the next break. So we got to keep things
going. Crazy.
We are welcoming to the program the gentleman who is the executive director for the Philadelphia Film Society. He's been here before, and we are happy to have him back. Please welcome Andrew Greenblatt to the program. Good to see you, Andrew. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Great to see you all.
Excellent. So you guys are getting set. Tomorrow is when this all begins?
That's right. We kick off tomorrow and run through Sunday the 27th.
I'm looking through the booklet here, the playbill, of whatever you would want to call it, and this might be your mega banner year. You have a ton of movies that there's a lot of buzz about.
We do. It's a great year. I like to say every year is our best year.
Yeah, so it's okay.
This is absolutely our best year yet.
Yeah, it keeps getting better. I'm noticing a whole bunch of stuff. I'm going to go through obviously all the things that you are doing, but I've been hearing a lot about this movie that you guys are premiering, Knives Out, with Daniel Craig, like an old style whodunit.
It is.
From the director of the movie Looper.
That's right. Yeah. It's like Agatha Christie movie with
love
a little
this.
Hitchcock built in, and one of the biggest all-star casts of the year.
Evans and a whole bunch of others.
Daniel Craig, so yeah. James Bond is in it, giving his best Southern drawl, and Christopher Plummer and Michael Shannon and Jamie Lee Curtis and Don Johnson. Wow. I could just keep going. And it's fantastic.
You've seen it?
I have. It's a can't miss.
Do you get to see everything before it...
We are showing everything before we put it in the festival, yes.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Can you tell me about this movie, Just Mercy? Because we're going to have some people in on Friday that are screenwriters and they star in the movie.
That's great. Yeah, Just Mercy, it's a really powerful film. It's about Bryan Stevenson, his real-life story. He's an attorney who moved down from Delaware to Alabama to start the Equal Justice Initiative and try to get people off of death row who are incorrectly convicted.
Yeah.
Really powerful, really important, really really timely because it deals with class and race. We're thrilled that Brian will be with us at the screening. Some of the cast, the writer, I'm guessing everyone who's coming in on Friday will be with us. It's going to be a really special night on
It's cool. It synergizes as well when you have this because we'll get a lot of these people coming and we love to talk to the behind-the-scenes people as well. And you're also debuting The Irishman. Before it debuts on Netflix.
That's right. Well before, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the sweeping crime side. So it's like 3 hours plus, is it not?
I think it's coming in at 3:15 right now.
Three hours and 15 minutes. Scorsese's story of it's Jimmy Hoffa and his bodyguard, basically, correct?
It is, who's from Philly,
yeah.
Right? And that's so there's big Philly ties to it. The Schuylkill is featured multiple times in the movie, although it is not the real Schuylkill.
Right.
But yeah, it's De Niro and Pacino and Pesci and Harvey Keitel and Bobby Cannavale. Again, another huge cast. It's
how is it?
It's fantastic. It's like the last of his mafia movies.
Massive crime. I mean, like, more than that. They say it's amazing. Now they've used the big. A lot has been made about this de-aging computer generated stuff that they're doing, and they're making De Niro and everybody look much younger.
They are.
Is it a distraction or does it work?
I think it works. I think it's when it first hits you, you get used to it. But as you go on, you lose it.
Like, okay.
You're just in the movie and you're watching them age and you're not even thinking that, oh, my God, how'd they do that?
Okay. It works.
It's really cool. De Niro's eyes, I think, will get you more than anything else because I think he's got blue eyes in the movie and that's not the De Niro we know.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I mean, who does it better than Scorsese? Jojo Rabbit is another one we were just talking about, which is a satiric dark
anti-war movie. Yeah,
anti-war movie. Yeah.
It's awesome. It's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. It is clearly unlike anything you've seen in recent years. It's in that Dr. Strangelove type vein where it's funny, but it's making its points.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go too far, but it goes up to that line.
Cool.
In the middle of this, of the program we have here is the screening schedule. And it's, you guys are just, you're always jam-packed.
It's jammed.
How many films altogether?
We're 120 films this year, 40-plus countries. It'll be 150, 160 total screenings throughout the festival. Of the 120, we say 115-plus are Philadelphia premieres never before seen in the city. Many months before you'll have a chance to see them, many that you'll never have a chance to see in a theater. So this is that opportunity. And then the last five are in that From the Vaults category. So they're films that are either celebrating an anniversary or we want to look back at the career of someone who's recently passed away.
And who would that be this year?
Well, so we're doing Magnolia for its 20th anniversary and for Ricky Jay, who passed away. We're doing Zeffirelli's Romeo and Juliet because he passed away. We're doing both of those on 35mm. We're doing Defending Your Life to look back at Rip Torn.
Yeah.
Also on 35.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
It's so good. So good. And then the other two, we're doing Audition, which is the Mieke film. Wow. 20 years.
That's a brutal film.
And if people haven't seen it, just come and experience that. And we're doing...
It's one of the sickest, but people who've seen it, you will never...
You'll never forget it.
What was it again? Audition.
Audition. Yeah.
That and Blue Velvet. And we're doing those two on 4K. So they've also never been seen in the city like this. It's our brand new projector and it's our way to show it off.
So you can, and this is a great way, you can in one fell swoop see, if you plan your schedule right, movies that will be talked about for the rest of the year ahead of the curve. You know, and a lot of these will be end up being Oscar contenders.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're six out of the last seven films that won the Best Picture premiered in our festival, and it was the first opportunity to see it here.
Yeah. How about tickets to these shows? How do you do that?
Easiest way is the website, filmadelphia.org, FILMADELPHIA.ORG, or you can go to the box office at the Philadelphia Film Center, 1412 Chestnut Street, or the other theaters we use when we start on Friday, the Ritz East and the Ritz 5.
Okay, and we'll have all this information. We'll link on PresidentSteve.com, but it's exciting when this happens each year, and you guys do such a great job. So
thank you.
We appreciate the continued opening up our eyes to awesome new cinematic adventures.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Andrew, by the way, the executive director of the Philadelphia Film Society and the Philadelphia Film Festival starts tomorrow through the 27th, so get your tickets. We got to take a break. Sorry to keep it short, but we got to stay on time for some stuff. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We are scheduled to have Rob Hyman in the studio of the Hooters, along with Pierre Robert, because it's a very special event coming up. Being inducted into the Philadelphia Walk of Fame with the Philadelphia Music Alliance Gala coming up on the 22nd. So we'll see when they get here and have a chance to talk to them. In the meantime, we're going to do today's lesson question.
God damn it.
Yep, I'm going to need that.
You want an early one or a late one?
Let's do an early one. By the way, we're going to give away a four-pack of tickets for Six Flags Great Adventure and Safari. All right, so...
let's get the question from the GIMP.
Let's do the question. Nick just printed them in.
What kind of shoes did Caitlyn Jenner have to nail to her feet? What kind of shoes did Caitlyn Jenner have to nail to her feet?
Okay, and they're not horseshoes.
No.
All right, 215-263-WMMR. All right, so what kind of shoes... did Caitlyn Jenner have to nail to her feet? That was earlier this morning. 215-263-WMMR. If you were around at that time and you heard it, then we need to hear from you because you might win the prize. So give us a call. And while you're calling, we are going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Davis Hyundai. Get to Davis Hyundai in Ewing, New Jersey and check out the new vehicles like the Palisade. Davis Hyundai, home of the no payments for a full year. Go to DavisHyundai.com. What's going on, Steve?
Well, a modest house in the Chicago burbs that sits on the lot where John Wayne Gacy murdered 33 people and buried 29 is up for sale. As the realtor puts it, for just $450,000, you can enjoy easy access to the Windy City, great schools, and never sleeping again for the rest of your life.
Oh, my God.
Madonna wrapping up her latest tour with a new boyfriend, 25-year-old choreographer and dancer Ala Mick Williams. The 61-year-old Madonna says she had not been looking for a new relationship, but fresh penis. Oh. And finally, John Gosselin saying he is committed to protecting his kids from ex Kate Gosselin, who he says is consumed by her quest for fame. John says it could, if he could, he would have all the kids living with him, but there's just not enough room in his dumpster. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
Alrighty, we shall see if anybody knows the answer to this lesson question. What kind of shoes did Caitlyn Jenner have to nail to her feet? 215-263-WMMR. We're going to check in with Gary, see if he happens to know the answer. Hey, Gary.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. All right, Gary. What kind of shoes did Caitlyn Jenner have to have nailed to her feet?
Strappy Jimmy Choos.
Jimmy Choos,
yeah!
Yes. A set of strappy ones. Hang on, Gary. You got yourself some tickets. We have a four-pack for Six Flags Great Adventure and Safari. You can take your fear for a ride at Six Flags Fright Fest with over 20 haunted attractions and more zombies than ever before. Thrills by day, fright by night. Weekends through November 3rd. Let's get to the music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Shut the f*** up!
All right. Brought to you by Davis Hyundai. Get to Davis Hyundai in Ewing, New Jersey. Check out the new vehicles like the Palisade. Davis Hyundai, home of the no payments for a full year. Go to DavisHyundai.com. Is that correct? I did that twice?
Yep.
Okay, cool. I'll make sure I got that right. So we flirted with this a little bit earlier, but the 2020 nominations for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame have been announced with Soundgarden, Nine Inch Nails, Judas Priest, Motorhead, Depeche Mode, Todd Rundgren, Kraftwerk, Rufus and Chaka Khan, the MC5, Pat Benatar, Whitney Houston, Dave Matthews Band, The Notorious B.I.G., T-Rex, and Thin Lizzy all up for possible inductions.
I'm okay with all those.
Yeah, Notorious B.I.G.,
yeah.
I don't see that. Whitney Houston, I mean, they've already done... They already...
she rocked.
I mean, they already had Donna Summer and a few other ones of that ilk, yeah. But I'm still...
It doesn't, I know, but compared to who they put in there already, yeah, if they're going to put in Donna Summer, why not Whitney Houston?
But you're okay with Pat Benatar, not Whitney?
Oh, yeah, by far.
Pat
yeah.
Benatar. Okay.
As far as rock goes?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't see that as rock music?
No.
You better run.
Yeah.
You better hide.
Okay, all right.
You better leave.
I guess more so than Whitney.
Yeah. And this, definitely, man.
You don't think that's rock?
Her husband's one of the best guitarists, rock guitarists.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's fantastic. Listen,
I love that she's in it. I just thought you guys were going to... No. I didn't realize you were going to be
Pat Benatar
okay
has complete cred.
She could be the original rock chick. And I know that there were other female rock artists like your
Ella Fitzgerald.
Well, your dad's lover.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Janice.
Or Janice Joplin. But she was a little more bluesy. And Pat was one of the first breakout front women of a band who just rocked pretty hard on stage.
Who does your dad say was the better lover, Pat?
He didn't know Pat.
Oh. Yeah, definitely rock.
Yeah.
So anyhow, the Top Rock Hall vote getters will be announced in January and inducted on May 2nd, 2020 at Cleveland's Public Hall, with the event airing live. I think it's actually Pat Benatar is way overdue, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know how long ago her first song came out, but...
How many do they let in? I mean, I know they have a bunch of nominees. Is it five?
Five. The top five acts will comprise a fans ballot that will count as one of the ballots to determine the class of 2020. That is a good question, Casey, and I don't have that information handy. Exactly how many they induct into the hall each year.
Because of those, what I would put in would definitely be Pat Benatar would definitely be in.
Yep.
Judas
Priest, Motorhead, I put them in for sure. That's me. I'm just jumping in here if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind.
T-Rex has had a ton of influence over the
Absolutely.
Years.
Absolutely. T-Rex deserves to be in.
Thin Lizzy,
yeah,
awesome rock
Lemmy.
Band, man. Motorhead,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how you don't put Dave Matthews Band in. I mean, I think they've earned it. You know, they're like first or second time nominees, but I mean, just like as far as records sold and concert tickets sold and albums and I don't know, but that's my opinion.
I just think there's some people that are in front of them in the line.
Maybe.
But they're going to get in. They will be in. Who's to say? But anyhow, to be eligible, each nominee's first single or album had to be released in 1994. Or earlier. Yeah, so Pat goes back to the late 1970s.
I think this nominee class is pretty damn strong. I don't know.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I just a question mark on Whitney Houston and Notorious B.I.G.
I feel like
me personally.
I feel like Whitney's going to get in.
Quite possible. I mean, she's one of the greatest voices of all time.
Yes. Is it rock? No.
Probably
was
not.
It ever rock? No. But that doesn't seem to be a defining...
But did she smoke rock?
Yes.
Absolutely.
A lot.
And lots of it.
It's good logic.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
She will be missed.
Thank you.
She will be missed.
Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins and his band, the Coattail Riders, will release their third studio album titled Get the Money. And it's going to be on November 8th. And the band has shared a preview track called Cross the Line that features guest appearances from Dave Grohl and Yes vocalist John Davison.
What?
John Davison is in Yes.
What? Who? What? When?
John Anderson.
John Anderson.
Pierre, isn't John Davison
who
from
writes his crap? Hollywood Squares?
Yeah, he hosted Hollywood Squares.
That was John Davidson.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Davison.
Oh, that's crazy.
Who's John Davison?
That's crazy.
I don't know. He hosted Hollywood Squares.
Yeah. And remember, he would sing some of the questions from time
that's
to time.
That's right.
Yep.
He had amazing hair.
In addition. We'll let Pierre solo for a minute.
He still has amazing hair.
He does.
He does.
Okay. Look at him there.
In addition to Grohl and Davison, it says here, good Lord, that's got to be
that's
John
a
Anderson.
Prep Services? That's ridiculous. And John Adams, the lead singer of Yes.
Guest on the... Wait, wasn't he on the Addams Family?
That was
Don Adams. Don Adams. No, that wasn't Don Adams.
No, you're thinking of Charles Adams. Created the Addams
Who's
Family.
Who's Don Adams?
Don Adams was...
Get Smart.
Yeah, Maxwell Smart.
I'm talking about...
All right. Sharp as a tack, this radio show.
You guys, there is a John Davison. John Davison, who Preston is currently reading about, who is a singer in Yes. He's been the lead vocalist of the progressive rock band Yes since 2012. Now, Yes has had a lot of different iterations.
He doesn't count then.
All right. He's the guy. If you go see the band that's called Yes now,
okay.
Their lead singer is a guy named John Davison.
Is John Anderson no longer with the band?
That's correct. They've had a bunch of different iterations, but the one that's legally trademarked as the band Yes right now is this guy.
That's a scam.
I'd be thrilled if I showed up and this guy with his hair... Hollywood Squares.
No, not him.
Showed up.
John Davison.
You are not the lead singer of Yes.
All right. In addition to Grohl and Davison, guests on the LP include Pat Smear, Queen's drummer Roger Taylor, the Eagles' Joe Walsh, Duff McKagan of Guns N' Roses, Nancy Wilson from Heart, the Pretenders' Chrissy Hynde, Perry Farrell, Leanne Rimes, and more.
All right. Well, that was a little confusing, but I think we hashed it out.
Speaking of Guns N' Roses, which I mentioned just a moment ago, Sweet Child of Mine is now officially the first music video from the 1980s to reach 1 billion views on YouTube.
1 billion views on YouTube. Wow.
This is the second such milestone for the band, whose 1992 video for November Rain became the first, became in 2018 the first and so far only clip from the 1990s.
Billions and billions.
To reach the coveted.
Billions and billions and billions.
The coveted billion view mark.
And billions and billions and billions.
Sweet
and
Child of Mine was a breathtaking commercial smash for the first Guns album.
Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
1987's Appetite for Destruction.
Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
Which remains.
And billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
There's another minute and a half, guys.
The best selling U.S. debut album ever.
Billions and billions and billions.
With more than 30 million copies.
Billions and billions and billions.
So it's the large, it's the largest selling album. What is it now?
Of all time.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
It says Appetite for Destruction remains the best selling U.S. debut album.
Oh, okay.
Ever, with more than 30
million
copies.
Better known as Appetite for Turk Duck.
shifted worldwide. And then one last story, a new documentary called The Rainbow features interviews with Ozzy Osbourne / Gene Simmons, Lita Ford, and the late Lemmy Kilmister. And many others in a look at the vast and legendary history of Hollywood's famed Rainbow Bar and Grill and also Whiskey A Go-Go on the Sunset Strip. The film gives viewers an inside look at the Meglieri family, who owned both venues and dedicated their lives to preserving rock history. That will be interesting.
It's going to be wonderful.
Yes, Gene will be...
Absolutely a fan of the Meglieri family.
Thrilled to see that. About the rainbow.
About the rainbow.
Did they serve chicken there?
They did not serve chicken.
No.
That's at my request.
Okay.
Those noble beasts. You can't kill a chicken.
No.
I love Gene Simmons appearing. I love it.
That was originally going to be the title for Rock and Roll Over. You can't kill a chicken.
You can't kill a chicken.
But the band decided that they would go in a different direction.
Mighty Beast.
The Rainbow will be available on demand on October 29th. That should be interesting. That's where like heavy metal got its birth.
One of the areas
where heavy metal in America.
One of the areas.
That is correct.
Absolutely.
I just need to bring up the fact that Preston redid his bathroom. He made it a rock and roll bathroom. And his toilet paper dispenser is a Gene Simmons face, and he bought red toilet paper that comes out as Gene Simmons.
It's weird wiping your butt with red toilet paper.
I
will admit that.
I've had my tongue in worse.
The Family Show.
Absolutely.
When I'm totally done with it, I will take pictures of it. But I'll just take a picture of the Gene Simmons toilet roll dispenser. It's pretty cool.
I had Jackie Bam Bam send over pictures of his rock and roll bathroom as well.
Okay.
And you guys need to have a rock and roll bathroom competition.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Well, we're going to stay in the vein of rock and roll right now, and welcome two rockers to our studio as we speak, who are being inducted into the Philadelphia Walk of Fame.
This is wonderful.
Yeah. And in fact, there is a gala that's taking place on the 22nd, and tickets will be available for this at PhiladelphiaMusicAlliance.org. First of all, you heard the laugh in the background. Our good friend, Mr. Pierre Robert. Pierre is being inducted into the Walk of Fame, which we have mentioned before on the show.
And there's more.
But wait, there's more. Joining him, a good friend of this radio station, a good friend of Pierre's and ours, from the Hooters, Mr. Rob Hyman is here. And he brought his Hooter with him. No, he brought his instrument with him. Good to see you, Rob. How you doing?
Don't leave home without it. I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having us.
How has life been with you? It's been a little while since we've seen you
it
here in the studio.
It has been, and it just keeps ticking away.
That's cool, man.
Ineluctably.
Hey, yeah, I was happy to see, amongst your many accomplishments and more songwriting, that you contributed to the SpongeBob SquarePants musical.
I did.
What?
And that was a...
News to Pierre.
I didn't know that.
And it was a huge success, right?
It was a good show, yes. It's closed now, but it had a good run. And Cyndi Lauper and I wrote a song. It was a weird phone call. You want to write a song for SpongeBob? <You know? laughs> And I said, of course. And
sure,
we did.
Yeah.
And it was a great thing. Saw the show. It was a lot of fun.
That's cool. So were you commissioned to do that? Did they seek you out or seek Cyndi out and she got in touch with you?
Well, what they did with that show, which was kind of unique, I think, was you normally have a book writer and a songwriter, or what, two or three people that write a whole Broadway show. In this case, I don't know if they were the first, but they wanted a lot of different artists to just contribute one song. So they wanted all different genres. Tina Landau was the director, and she had this vision. Let's just go everywhere. They had Aerosmith. They had Lady Antebellum. They had John Legend. They had us, Cyndi and I. So they had the idea was for each scene, a particular scene, they want a particular song. So, you know, it's a crapshoot. Not everything works. And we kind of knew what the scene was, so you write a little specifically for that.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, it's just, again, you just put it in the hopper, see what happens. So they had all these different artists. Oh, Flaming Lips, we sat next to them. That was a big thrill. Wow. I was sitting next to Wayne from Flaming Lips at the premiere of the show. So they invited all the writers, and of course, and not everyone came, but he did. And, we had our little song in there. It was bizarre.
Which character sang your
actually,
song?
Actually, SpongeBob sings it with Patrick.
Okay.
And,
awesome.
My kids are big fans, actually very critical fans. So they went with a lot of, trepidation, like, don't screw it up. And yeah. Apparently, they said it was very true to the show. I mean, I know the show, but not every little, bits and bit and piece like they do.
Right.
But the whole set and the whole the way they staged it, you walk in the theater and you're underwater. You know, the whole theater is the set.
Yeah.
So it was very clever, very day glow, very colorful.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Man, I hope they bring it back. I'd love for you.
Actually, they are. It's touring and it's coming to Philly. All right.
Excellent.
Yeah. Excellent. SpongeBob High. But apparently it's on the road and I believe it is coming to Philly in December. And if you get a chance, check it out. It's fun.
That's
what's
awesome.
It like to hear your song in a Broadway production?
Sung by SpongeBob.
Yeah.
But bizarre. No, it was a throw. I mean, it was a little song we threw in, and then we had some conversations back and forth with the director. Can you tweak this and that? And then they did it. It was fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really fun.
You guys have received all kinds of awards throughout the years, and some here in Philadelphia, I assume. And, being a part of the Walk of Fame, that's got to be a nice feather
well,
in the cap.
This is a biggie, yeah. I mean, we'll be in the sidewalk. It's a thrill. I mean, we're very honored. 39 years with this band. We started in 1980. Next year is our 40th, so we're getting up there. So, so if these things are going to happen, let's do it sooner than later.
You might as well get it in there under the wire.
Yeah,
but no, obviously
please.
you're going great guns still. So
thank you. Yeah, 40 years and counting with Eric and David, our original, Eric and I formed it. And then David, of course, the original drummer. He was a founding member. And then some people have come and gone, all great players over the years. But we're still doing what we do. So the same way we do it.
Even your current lineup, John Lilly's been there since 85.
83. I know. He's one of the new kids.
And you're right. And Fran's been, Fran, your bass player's been there since.
Fran joined 86, 87.
Right. And then you got Tommy, who's relatively new.
And we're always a five piece. Then Eric broke his shoulder right before a tour skiing. Don't ski, Eric. But he was. And we found Eric's doppelganger, whatever. This Tommy Williams, who's from New York, our token New Yorker, you know, who plays everything beautifully. And so we are now six piece with Tommy. Yeah.
Pierre, what are your thoughts on joining this with these guys who you have had a partnership with so many years?
It's just, when Randy Alexander called me, who's helps out with the Philadelphia Music Alliance, I had to sit down for a minute. It was just like, wow, that's amazing. Rob and Eric, to their credit, have been inducted already as songwriters, but this is the first time the whole band is. But the synchronicity of me being blessed to be in the same class, I guess, as you, is a thrill. One of the very first shows I ever saw was the Hooters at the Chestnut Cabaret, hosted by Joe Bonadonna from MMR, and that's where I applied to work at MMR.
That's wild.
I met him. Or I conversed with him, and he said, come out and we'll talk tonight. I'm hosting a show at the Chestnut Cabaret, and I had just gotten here. I go, what's the Chestnut Cabaret? And he goes, I'm hosting the Hooters. And I go, who are the Hooters?
What's a Hooter?
And that's where I applied to work. So the synchronicity is quite there. And then for the the Hooters and myself to be in the same class as the Philadelphia Orchestra. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they would be worthy of that. I don't know that I'm worthy of that. Mm-hmm. And then Evelyn Champagne King and the OJs and several others.
It's amazing, but all well deserving. And you're as essential to this music getting out, Pierre, and what you've meant to Philadelphia. And it must be weird though. You know, you're moving along and just living your life and doing everything you're as vital as ever. But you do have to pause sometimes and go, oh my God, yes, this has been an amazing run.
A long, strange trip.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, from a band perspective, I've thought about this often. You know, you do a gig and then you do another gig and you do another gig and you guys always try to make each one the best one. But then all of a sudden, you have a year of gigs, and then you have 2 years and 5 years and 10 years and albums, you know, and all of a sudden you still are just doing what you do, but you've assembled a body of work.
Yeah.
And that's every so often someone will reflect on that. And
well, you're only slightly behind us in terms of longevity, right?
You're about to be 40 years.
We're 39 and counting.
I'll be 39 in November.
Okay.
And you'll be 40 years as band.
Next year's our 40th.
Okay. Yeah.
So. Unbelievable. Right, it's amazing.
Go figure. And MMR, look, I mean, you guys are one of the last ones standing too, right?
So yeah.
Over 50 years.
And thriving.
51 years, yeah.
Long live rock.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, the Hooters start, when I came here in 81, MMR would be playing all kinds of local bands in not just, you know, on a specialty show, but all day long. So you'd hear Robert Hazard and then David Bowie. Next hour, you'd hear the A's and Jimi Hendrix. Next hour, you'd hear the Hooters and, you know, John Mellencamp or something like that. I mean, they were the bands that were, you know, from this area were built right into everyday playlist. Which was really cool.
Notorious B.I.G. and Whitney Houston.
Right.
Did early support start from MMR, Rob?
Right there. Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. MMR was the first to play us
back
when. They played a demo, a song we had called Man in the Street, which was an ska instrumental of all things. A little cassette. And, yeah, they played it. And Zombies, which we've been playing since 1980.
Different versions of that song.
Different versions, but yes, permutate. We tend to do that. But those songs right from the beginning. And MMR absolutely was playing local bands. People they would come to the clubs, and it was a synergy that was going on.
But their model, I mean, the way they pursued it with a demo tape, and they brought it to the station. I think Michael Tiersen was the first to play.
He was.
In the Guerrilla Theater show in the evenings. And then, you know, eventually they got some singles out. The station played the singles. And eventually they went in and recorded a local album called Amore. And it went on to sell 150,000 copies, give or take, which is unheard of in the early 80s. And that brought them to the attention of the national record companies. And, you know, and on from there. So, but, you know, it's an amazing journey for them. And the fact that they're every bit as vibrant now as they were then. In fact, there are a handful of bands, I would say, that play better now than they did in the day. And you guys are one of them.
Or just your hearing is
it's gone. It's just degraded over the years.
About our aging audience, you know, the hearing's a little dull. stole or so.
You know, the Goldbergs episode, they repeated again with you guys. It's hilarious.
What was that like?
We were on the Goldbergs. That was crazy. They flew us out to L.A. They wanted to do a show. It's 80s Philly, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had been in touch on and off over the years. You know, like, this has to happen through different connections. And they finally called us. And I think they were going to have, like, a look-alike band or something. And then someone said, let's get the real thing. So we went out and they staged a mini concert, I guess a simulation of the Tower Theater, and we're doing a little concert in full getup, wigs, the whole nine yards. It was great.
And they kept the angle at a respectable...
Well, that, yeah, we said, watch the close-up. Especially, you know, high definition is not our friend.
But in the early days, when the band took off with the release of the debut album, Nervous Night, they all had high hair, first of all. Remember, it's 85.
Yeah.
Band member had a different color.
Yes.
Rob was white, Eric was black, John was red, David was yellow, you know. And so when they did that recreation, they got you back in those colors, which they haven't used in a thousand years.
They did, yeah. A little bit of trivia while you're talking. They said, we want to do the color. Well, they asked about wardrobe. We said, well, back then we used to all dress in a color. It was easy keeping the laundry straight on the road. So they said, fine. And they asked if you have any original clothing. I am a pack rat of sorts, much to everybody else's whatever disgust. But I found the jacket I wore on the cover of Nervous Night.
Come on.
And I think actually at Live Aid. So I said, I found the jacket. What do you think? They'd definitely bring it. So that was the jacket I wore.
Wow. Oh, that's cool. And Live Aid as well?
Yes.
Wow.
So it's all those naysayers like, Rob, why do you keep all that crap?
And you fit.
That's
right?
Why.
There you go. You stayed in shape. There
when you guys were on set, was everything plugged in and were you able to play it a little bit? We were
lip syncing.
Okay.
It was just, it was a little complicated. Although they said, can you guys play some songs? I said, well, we would need a full PA and all our equipment. It's going to take a little more than 10 minutes. So we were lip syncing to And We Danced, and it was, again, a simulated concert event. And we were on for all of, like, 15 seconds. But it was a good fun 15 seconds.
That's
very
cool.
Fun.
Yeah.
Pierre, how many of their music videos did you appear in?
I think
one for
two.
Sure.
I was in And We Danced, which was filmed in the old Exton.
Mm-hmm. Exton Drive-In.
Drive-In, long gone.
Rest in peace.
I think
Day by Day, maybe?
And Day by Day, which was filmed at the Tower Theater.
That's right.
They do a little audience pan, and you can see me clapping along. And then in the first one, in And We Danced, it's in the drive-in, and Rob and Eric are playing in the beginning, and then all these people come in. And then there's a scene where bikers come in or something, and they're by the concession stand, and that's where I'm standing eating popcorn or something like that. I mean, you have to freeze.
What was your process for?
Well, no, I really had to go into my inner self to get that character.
Someone eat popcorn?
Well, Marty Scorsese, he really helped me a lot.
Marty called you.
Yeah, and Bob.
Yeah.
Bobby De Niro. They both helped me prepare for the role. It was pretty cool.
Wow. So, Rob, clearly you're still writing music, and how busy do you stay with that?
You know, pretty busy. We all have lots of odd jobs, home studios. We kind of moonlight with other artists. We're still doing that, writing with other artists, probably more than really with our group, but we'll try to get something new out. You know, it's just been a nonstop routine. Typically in the summer, spring and summers, we've been playing mostly overseas. We always play some homecoming shows in the fall.
What's your biggest country outside of the United States to play?
Germany is the main market. Yeah, we dodged. We went in 85, we went to Australia, then we went to Japan, then we went to England. It's really been fantastic just to see these places. And then over the years, it's settled into, Western Europe, say Scandinavia,
right. Mm-hmm.
Germany. We have a promoter in Hamburg. For some reason, I don't know, the audience just...
No.
They're sick
German.
Of Hasselhoff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pierre has come.
John, I went to Berlin. No, I went to some town in Germany to see. I can't remember what it was. But John Lilly and Bob Lorman and I were having dinner at an outdoor cafe in Berlin. And there were all these tables right next to each other. And this young guy and his girlfriend were right next to us. And we started talking, as you might do, with a table nearby. And he goes, so where are you from? And we're U.S. And he looks at me, what do you do? I go, I'm a DJ. Then he looks at John and he goes, and what does he do? And then Bob says, starts singing Johnny B, which was a huge hit in Germany and still is. And people go crazy. And Bob starts going, Johnny B, da, 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 da. And the kid I swear to God, he couldn't have been 25. Reels back. He goes, Das Hooters! Oh, my God! Das Hooters! And it was the coolest thing. Then he goes, she works for the mayor. He's going to get you a tour of the town. I mean, it was...
That's how we get free beer.
And there's a great video from the last tour over there. Johnny B's, this huge song. It was on the second album...
Yes.
Rescue
One,
Me?
One Way Home.
One Way Home, sorry. Yeah. Uh-huh. On that, it's such a popular song over there, and they play it, and they had gone off stage in some venue, and this packed festival, there are thousands and thousands of people there, and they kept singing spontaneously after the encore had even taken place, and you guys went out and did it again, right?
Well, of course.
I mean, but that's so cool. That's the kind of love that you know that people have for them.
It's been fantastic. I mean, really, everywhere we've played for all these years, the band brings it. I mean, we do it the same way now that we did it then. You know, we get on stage. I look to the Stones and those bands as a real inspiration because they were our inspiration.
That's
and
awesome.
There's no trickery. There's no backup people under the stage or recordings. The lights, the music, it's just the best to the best of our ability. So it's just old school rock and roll. And then the spontaneous things like that happen, and it's like, okay, and then we come back, play the song, start playing something else. And every night, it really is an adventure with this band.
I love it. Excellent. Doing two nights in November at the Keswick Theater. They're just about sold out. But the first weekend in November, they've been doing two nights, Friday and Saturday at the Keswick.
We're thrilled. And the gala next week, you know, is, by the way, people can come. Well, the afternoon, well, you can talk about that.
Yeah, there's going to be a ceremony at the walk itself in the afternoon, and then the gala later on that night.
Right.
Now, I don't have the details on what time the outdoor ceremony
Randy
is taking place. It's on the 22nd.
Randy, just speak.
Speak. Speak, boy. Speak.
Hi, guys. How are you?
It's Randy Alexander.
What's up, Randy? How are you? I'd like to use this moment to break a little bit of news from the Philadelphia Music Alliance that we have for everybody, all your listeners out there. There's a very classic rocker who is near and dear to Philadelphia, who is from Philadelphia, who's making a special guest appearance. His name is Todd Rundgren. Todd Rundgren, who is from Upper Darby, Pennsylvania, will be inducting the Hooters. So why don't you all come out and come see Todd in his element in a whole different kind of a way. And, you know, he does have a little history with you guys, I understand, Rob.
Yeah. Well, we did several shows. We did the Last Call at the Spectrum, which was, I think Pearl Jam did technically the last show, but this was maybe the second to last.
Very cool.
Hall & Oates and Todd and Soul Survivors and the late, great Spectrum. I have a couple chairs from that place. and then also the Folk Festival with Davey's, our drummer David's side project In the Pocket. We play the Folk Festival of all places, and Davey picks Philly songs, and one was Open My Eyes by Naz. And Todd was there, and he jammed with us, and it was just a great throw. He's legendary.
And you never know what Todd is going to say.
Right. Yes.
So okay. Who knows what he'll have to say.
He was just in town last night at the Keswick Theater. I was there. He was playing with the Beatles' White Album 50th Anniversary Tour with Mickey Dolenz and Christopher Cross and some others, Joey Mullen from Badfinger. And Todd was on his game. He was great. And you're going to love it, and it's going to be wonderful to see him come out. And he is also in our Walk of Fame. He's been on our Walk of Fame, since 1989, I believe.
Okay, so what time on the 22nd next week? What time are the
ceremonies? The gala runs from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
At the Bellevue.
Philadelphia.
And the earlier event?
Avenue of the Arts on Broad Street, pardon me.
And the earlier event?
The earlier event will be the induction ceremony, which starts at noon.
At noon.
On Broad Street on the Avenue of the Arts. It's going to be, the plaques are going to be lined up in front of Hamilton Hall, which is the building directly to the left of the Kimmel Center.
Okay.
Come on down. So that's where everything is. And I understand there's going to be a live broadcast by a radio station I'm pretty familiar with.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
Would that be this one?
Jackie's going to be down.
Okay. Yeah. WMMR broadcasting live.
Excellent. Thanks, Randy.
And how do people get tickets if they want to? They can go to the actual evening.
PhiladelphiaMusicAlliance.org.
PhiladelphiaMusicAlliance.org for the evening. They're on sale. And tomorrow is the last day they'll be on sale.
Okay.
So Hurry. And the afternoon ceremony is free. Come on down. Jam the streets. It's going to be a big photo event, you know, paparazzi, the whole thing. You're going to love it.
Cool.
Hurry, free.
Excellent.
Except for the tickets for the gala.
We're so excited to have the Kismet and the Synergy to be able to get Pierre Robert and the Hooters together in the same year. It's just everything, the planets lined up perfectly. And it's a cosmic thrill.
But I mean, not just us, Evelyn Champagne King and the Philadelphia Orchestra and the OJs. Love Train.
Come on.
If they sing Love Train. Are you guys going to play that night, by the way?
It's rumored.
All right.
All right. There
we'll
it
see.
Is.
Are you hanging out for a couple minutes with Pierre, or I don't know what you're doing?
I have to go farming in the backfield. I've got to plant
back crops. I actually have to leave. You guys are going to have to wrap up.
Oh, no, stay around for a while.
I've got a luncheon for domestic violence that I have to go do, so I have to make sure I do that for the Laurel House. But anyhow, we want to mention the Philadelphia Walk of Fame induction ceremony is coming up next week on the 22nd. It's great to see you, Rob.
Hey,
congratulations to you, the Hooters, and, of course, our own Pierre.
Thanks to MMR, everybody at the station, for all these years.
Appreciate it. Our absolute pleasure. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And yes, I'm leaving.
You got to go. So, get out of here.
These guys will handle the wrap-up and the Letter Day Word of the Week and all that stuff. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dinosaur Pilo. Godsmack. Under your scars, I pray. You're like a shooting star in the rain. The Struts. Dancing
in the street. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Preston is gone. He had to go speak at some gala.
Speaking engagement for the Laurel House. He's talking about the media involved in helping their mission. So that's very cool. But he had to cut out early, and we're going to wrap up the show.
It starts at 11. But so we forgot to do something, Kathy. We need a number for the secret text word. Oh yeah, I should probably turn your microphone on. Go ahead, Kathy.
There we go. What do you need a number for secret text word? We're gonna go with 15.
All right, caller 15, 215-263 WMMR. Give us a call. We may not get you on the air, but
you will win nonetheless.
You will win nonetheless.
If you know the secret text word.
Yes, and the prize is a pair of tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco. That is June 21st at 5 p.m. at the Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Tickets are on sale now via theborgata.com for all 12 shows in June 2020. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Excellent. So what's on the show for tomorrow, Case? Do we know?
All right. So, So Pierre's...
He's blown us off. He said he had to go do some HVAC work.
Yeah, we could just kind of like just bust all right through this.
We can bust all right through it.
Preston
and
Steve. We got to do a letter of the day.
Let's do it.
Oh, now he's coming in.
Is he?
Don't do the
what's
letter.
What's the letter, Pierre?
Do the letter real quick. It's a free
walk and roll off.
Honoree.
You think you're all big and mighty.
Hi. What's the letter, Pierre?
H as in hi.
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 All right. Excellent. We didn't know. You thought you were involved with your walk thing.
Well, no, I was doing my farming.
Okay.
All right. You wrap that up, though?
Remember?
Well, all right. So plant the corn quickly.
A three-letter word this week, and collect those letters, make the word for a trip or two to the premiere of Warner Brothers Pictures' Dr. Sleep on Tuesday, October 29th at the Regency Theater in Los Angeles. Now, the film is a follow-up to Stephen King's The Shining and was written and directed by Mike Flanagan. It's in theaters nationwide Friday, November 8th.
All right, Pierre, so we just talked to you, but what's on the show? What's coming up on your show today?
Thank you for having us on.
Oh, no, our pleasure. It was great.
It was really lovely. And I neglected to mention in that process that Matt Cord will be inducting me. Rundgren is inducting the Hooters for the ceremony next Tuesday night. And Matt Cord will induct me, which will be really fun. And the Geeter will be your overall. He'll be all over the place. And Mark Goodman, MMR alum and MTV VJ, will also, I think, be one of the hosts of the evening.
So that's excellent.
Be cool. On the program today, we have Bob Weir's birthday today, and we'll do a block of the Grateful Dead. The band that Preston jammed with, they are at the TLA tonight. That would be Steel Panther. Got to do a block of them. Yeah. And Greta Van Fleet was to have been in town last night and tonight at the Met. And Josh, the singer, came down with one of those illnesses that can happen. So the shows are rescheduled into December on December 29th and 30th. If you're holding tickets, they'll be good for those other shows. Or you can take them back to the point of purchase if you'd like a refund. However, we'll do a block of Greta anyway in the workforce blocks.
Excellent.
Excellent. All right, so we're going to wrap things up here. We need to thank, before we get to our sponsors, thank you once again to the Stanley's Tavern. So there's going to be the Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle tomorrow night from 7 to 9. The MM Army's going to be there.
And great food.
Great food. Hang out, and you can win some really, really cool stuff. Go to WMMR.com to learn out all about the Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle events. Thank you to Winter Airport Parking. It's the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. And also thank you to Planet Fitness. Get the Planet Fitness Black Card, and you'll enjoy massage chairs, hydro massage, tanning, and so much more. On the show tomorrow, we're going to have a phone call with John Capellos. You would know him.
Yeah.
He was actually the janitor in the Breakfast Club. Press is a huge fan of his because he's been in so many different movies.
He's one of those. He actually has a bigger resume than the Gimp.
Yeah. So he's going to give us a buzz tomorrow. Also, in our studio, we're going to have Alejandro Bedoya. He is the captain of the Philadelphia Union. He will be in our studio tomorrow.
Excellent.
All right. So do you want to do the honors?
You let you do it. You did such a great job.
Oh, yeah. All right. Ray John, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Your heads you are too cheap to replace your headlights and use your high beams instead. You and I hope you get pulled over by a car.
Next message.
I was driving my work truck and I had to pull the hell over because you guys are talking about the Casey story when he started at a country club. And I can't see his truth. It always parts down an old lady banning a newspaper. Oh my god.
Next message.
To the guy in the car next to me who then couldn't start up his car when the cops came. Karma's a bitch, motherfucker.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.